The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to many great podcasts, including Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, The Midnight Jury, Pro Wrestling 101, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Apex Radio, and of course, The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Audio Boo, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Head on over to iTunes or Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you purchase anything from Amazon, visit ShiningWizards.com and go through the Amazon button on the front page. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and a very small percentage of your purchase goes to support the show. Would you like to put our logo on your chest? Visit ShiningWizards.com/merch, where you can pick up one of our new pink and black Heart Attack t-shirts. Or if you prefer, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards, where you can pick up a few other designs, including the Shining Wizards Network shirt. We are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and we hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Hey, buttheads, you're listening to Jason Hervey on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Hello, buddies. No, it's not Ron and Fez. It's the Shining Wizards. We got Kevin Gill tonight, and we're doing some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
I'm Tony.
I am Eddie.
I'm Matt.
I'm Kevin.
And we're all back in studio. What's going on, boys?
You're alive.
Yes, I'm alive.
We all thought you died.
Yeah, well, I came back. I had chicken soup, and I feel better today. Thanks for asking.
Good for you.
Justin Anderson.
Hey, you know, he mentioned me on his last show, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, because he stuttered over something, and he said he had cancer, and he said, that's for you, Tony.
Wait, he stuttered and referenced you? He referenced the wrong wizard.
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm the only...
No, he got it right.
Never mind.
He was nice. Foreshadowing. Foreshadowing.
Nailed it. Gotten away from all that good stuff.
You stuttered so hard, you fucked up the laptop.
I'm terrible.
Justin Anderson nailed it.
Hey, you guys, there was a lot of stuff going on in the world of wrestling this past weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's start this party off a little TNA.
Take it all off, Kevin.
Let's see it, buddy.
Coming.
Where do we start? Do we start with the six-sided ring? Because that was a huge Facebook topic today.
Well, let's cover that in news. Let's go over past shows.
Actually,
first.
I think that should be the hot. That's probably the hottest thing right now, right?
Is that our lead, as they say in the news business? Is that our lead
story? Decisions.
I mean, I'd say it's the biggest news pertaining to TNA.
Or this is something we could not have decided off the air. We had to have you guys listening for this decision.
Well, there's a new champion.
There is a new champion. Impact was live Thursday night.
We're live.
From Sands Casino.
And the crowd was phenomenal.
Yeah, the show in a whole was great.
A little too much talking.
Well, I mean, but that's
But
that's
a little too much.
I just don't like that they were making guys do double duty all night.
Yeah,
like,
that's only... what I made mention.
Who,
that
you mean John Redbeard, you mean?
Besides
John Redbeard. Was he doing double duty? Because I'm sure he'd be really upset about that.
With the hole in his leg.
Yeah, did he do that before or after the hole?
That was after. Dude, it was live.
It was live.
He traveled through time.
Yeah, silly.
Yeah, that's the one thing I mentioned, that it seemed like they only had 8 wrestlers on their roster that night because everyone wrestled twice.
Why was that?
Because they have 8 wrestlers on their roster.
Ooh, that was, I mean, Kevin vaguely mentioned a spoiler going forward, but, I mean, they did have, what, 2-3 tapings that night?
Yeah.
Or over the next two days they were out there?
That must be rough, though, like to tape, like, 3 weeks worth of TNA in one night. That's
rough on the fans?
I think it's 4 over 2 days.
It was 4 over 2.
Well, I mean, but still, 4 hours and one night to sit through. I guess you do that when you go to Raw anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's rough.
Even when Raw was 2 hours, you were still sitting there for 3 plus.
Yeah.
The
there's a midget.
A lot of talking. Speaking. That seems to be their big foray. What they really do well, and that's been going back for since the MVP.
Wait, what they do well started. Or what they just refuse to not do?
No, they do well. They talk way too much.
Yeah. Okay, but that doesn't mean they're doing it well.
No, they're doing it better than
sarcastic, Kevin.
I think they do it better. They do it better than WWE in some aspects, though.
In what aspects?
In the way they present what's going on. Their angles always tend to make sense.
All right.
That's the thing with TNA. That's a positive. Every wrestler has something to do. You don't just see weird random mismatches all the time like on Raw.
All right.
But back to Eddie's point, they do overemphasize on the talking. What they could tell you in one segment, they stretch out for three segments just to get to the main event where they could easily, like, this past week, the opening segment was about 10 minutes of talking, a 5-minute match, and then another 10 to 15 minutes of talking.
And was Dixie involved in all 25 of those minutes?
No,
it was all MVP and his boys.
All right, so what do you guys think of that? Don't you think it's kind of weird, though, that they have two heel factions and then like the kind of leftover good guys with like Eric Young?
They're cleaning that up.
Okay. What's the other heel faction?
Dixie and
Spud and EC3,
the Brotherhood.
Yeah,
they're not getting along now because I mean I don't watch TNA. I haven't watched.
No, they hate each other. Dixie still hates MVP. She says you're digging your own grave, MVP.
Think of it this way. Think of it as DDP, Wolfpack, and Hollywood. There you go.
The answer is always WCW.
Yes,
that is the answer. All right, so continue.
But I mean, Eddie's right. The storylines make perfect sense.
Yeah.
MVP. Fires Earl Hebner for counting Kenny
Cards.
King.
Oh.
No.
Yes.
Earl Hebner's a blackjack dealer and a not very good one.
Hasn't Earl Hebner been fired a bunch of times before?
He's always fired.
He got fired by Triple H. He got fired for hawking T-shirts.
That was real life.
That was Dave Hebner, wasn't it? Oh, no, that was Earl.
Was that Dave Hebner? Was that Dave Hebner?
That was all three of them.
I think it was. Hebner.
How much for the plastic shirts, brother?
I think it was Earl Hebner and Brian Hebner got the axe, too, because of it.
Yeah.
As a result.
Yes.
But, yeah.
You'll never see them again. Yeah, you'll never see them in WWE again, those guys.
I doubt it. Earl Hebner will get in the Hall of Fame.
No way. I don't think so.
For just selling T-shirts? People have been fired for worse.
Jack Tunney gambled with WWE money. When he died, no one went to his funeral from WWE.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So,
well, everybody hated him. He was an awful president.
He made bad decisions.
He did. He took the belt away from DiBiase.
How dare he?
Who does he think he is?
Go ahead, Matt. What else we got?
Sorry. So I was reading. They fire Hebner. Whatever.
See, that would have been a good spot for the ghost of Jack Tunney to make
I'm still working on it.
We need the ghost
of Jack
Tunney.
I haven't perfected it yet. It's only been 3 months.
It's only been forever.
I enjoy Kenny. There should be like a signal so I don't talk over it.
Yeah.
That's the best sound clip.
I love that one.
Oh, God.
I enjoyed the Kenny King character.
Do it again.
In the New Nation of Domination.
Alrighty.
Is quite entertaining.
Yes.
Because he's like the hothead. He's always fucking up MVP's plans.
Isn't it kind of funny that they brought him in as the King of the Night? They did this whole lead up towards this new character and they never used it.
I think what they gave him is better. He's
definitely
main eventing.
Better.
He's on the, you know, he's being showcased. He's not lost in the, is there still an X Division?
No, not really, dude.
Okay. So, yeah, he's
like
not lost.
He's like a Japanese guy, a Mexican guy, and Austin Aries.
He's not lost in that. Well, Aries is more like a main eventer. He's not even an X Division guy.
Talk to me next week.
Oh.
Or the week after.
Oh, man. Spoiler? Yikes.
So, yeah. So there's that.
You better watch what you're saying because Adam Henning's going to get pissed off.
Bill Scooter's going to get all bent out of shape, too.
Yeah, what was up his ass? Do we want to get into it?
Maybe it was Abyss.
Boo.
See what I did there.
I see what you did.
Look, I'll tie it together. Three-way dance, tag match, the Wolves against Joe, Aries, and Abyss, and Willow.
Willow.
Still hate Willow. Still hate the black and white, crazy fucking one flew over the cuckoo's nest entrance.
Look at me.
Enough. I get it.
I'm whimsy.
You're a fucking dingleberry. Ugh.
I'm Willow.
Great tag match,
Come
though.
Come bear your fruit on me. Because I am a tree. Because I am a tree. I have roots and wings.
I might crash into your house if there are above high winds.
Do not hide under me in a storm.
That is a myth.
Build a house in me and live, Willow. Whimsy.
Awful. Just.
I'm whimsy.
Awful.
I'm whimsy.
The tag match itself was good.
Whoa.
With the wolves going over.
Woo, says the whimsy wolf.
Do you watch him? Because he'll be like cutting a promo and he'll be like, Shining Wizards, Tony, I want you to know you're eating cookies.
Let me tell you something.
He's like a Jim Carrey mask character mixed with someone that was electrocuted.
Alrighty then.
With who? Someone that was
electrocuted?
With whimsy.
I am so majestical.
I swear I'm sober.
If he just goes away, that'd be great.
I know
there's the room is split on Dixie. But the Dixie Dreamer promo.
Who would want to split Dixie?
You do. She's got a wonky eye, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I noticed it.
Nicole Bash.
What was that adjective you said?
Wonky.
She's got
wait, I'm sorry. Wonky! Wonky!
A wonky!
She's got that southern eye.
I was watching her promo with
it's
Dreamer.
On her chin.
It goes south.
I'm over here. She's looking over there.
And I'm like, she's got a fucking, her
it's
eyes.
It's like Shawn Michaels' eye.
Yeah,
kind of.
I do like that when we're doing Willow, we kind of like traipse our hands in the air too.
Because
you have to.
Whimsy.
When is TNA gonna put out the wacky wild inflatable Willow doll?
Oh, I hope so.
And just put it outside all the arenas.
That is a killer idea.
That's a great idea. That would make.
It's windy out here.
I would do a complete 180 on the character if they did that.
Me too. Or if just Jeff Hardy stood outside of the event doing that himself.
Come inside for some whimsy.
So what did you think of the Dreamer Dixie promo?
I thought it was fantastic.
It was entertaining, man.
Who called Matt Pillow?
I think I did. Willow and Pillow.
Look at me, I'm fluffy.
I thought it was pretty good. I don't like how they went about doing it. I mean, they knew for weeks and weeks that Bully Ray wasn't going to make Tommy Dreamer's show. So they pissed off a lot of people, Mike Norenganger, and to make it an angle. What I don't see is how does TNA benefit from pushing House of Hardcore? What do they get out of it? Besides, they got a Tommy Dreamer crying segment, which happens every once in a while.
Thank you very much.
And I know he's going to be involved going forward, but... What's it going to lead to? I mean, they can't bring back another ECW-type faction.
Don't they have a pay-per-view coming up where Tommy and Rhino are supposed to be there?
Well, Rhino is...
I think that's this weekend, the Destination X thing they're taping in New York.
Well, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, Rhino's back.
You know what it is?
Rhino's back?
Yeah.
That hardcore group, whenever they bring them in for that once-a-year Hard Justice or whatever it is, they always seem to do better. Like, there's a lot more interest in TNA. Maybe they just keep going back to the well.
Wait, but they're not doing a ECW-type deal, are they?
Well, what else? Where else can this angle lead?
I have no idea.
That's the thing. They might just
be trying to get the House of Hardcore.
The Horde?
They might just be trying to give them a rub.
Why?
Or maybe get the House of Hardcore fans
WWE
to tune in to TNA.
WWE did it for ECW.
That is true. No, not really.
No.
No, when WWF was bankrolling ECW, it was so DL.
I'm talking about way before that. I'm talking about that initial run that they did on original Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were bankrolling them at that point,
too. They were bankrolling
them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still...
Do you really think the Sandman and Tommy Dreamer could afford front row seats to Mind Games? I mean, come on.
That was awesome.
This was way before that.
Dude, how great was it when Taz jumped the railing on Raw and he had the Sabu Fierce Taz sign?
Phenomenal.
It was great stuff. I still have all that stuff on tape.
Sabu almost died jumping off the Raw sign.
I think that's the last angle I bought into at that Mind Games pay-per-view. When Sandman spit beer into Savio Vega's face, I was like, wow, this is real. This is awesome. I really thought they were taking over.
Did you think... I thought more of when Lawler showed up at the arena and Kane Dreamer and his testicles.
Oh, and he broke his testy. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was pretty
cool. We were there for that, too.
I wasn't at that.
I was at that. That was amazing.
I was at the next month, which was Funk, Sabu, Barbed Wire.
Yeah, that one I missed. But going back.
Yeah.
I mean, back to bad
wrestling. Did they plug House of Hardcore? Did they mention
Tommy
it by
Dreamer
name?
Mentioned it. He's like, I run a little promotion called House of Hardcore. The crowd popped, but I don't know where it can go. Where can it go?
But was that the main focal point of the exchange?
Or no, did the exchange
just bring
was
it up?
Dixie, when I met you, we had dinner at my house or your house. And I played with your kids, and I know you're a good woman, and I just want that Dixie inside of you to come back. And then she
Slammiversary with Kevin Von Erich put the claw. I saw you in your skybox with your husband.
Why do they make him look like such a little girl?
When doesn't he cry?
But why did he cry?
Because he's passionate.
But why was he complimenting? Why was he putting over Dixie?
Because
he wanted to change her ways.
Because she
did they mention about how about did they mention Bully? Did they shoot about Bully Ray at all on the show? On
no,
the air?
They didn't even mention.
They didn't even touch. I thought that was the whole point of him coming in.
He wasn't even there.
They only didn't talk about it because Mike Norenganger was pissed off and they didn't. They I thought the whole field of the fire.
I just want you to be the woman that you used to be.
Is that really what he said?
Yeah.
Ew. I want you.
How gross.
We had dinner together.
It wasn't a terrible
you
promo.
You and Sergey, your husband Sergey. Wait, wasn't that her husband's name was like Sergey?
Yeah.
She's Sergey married?
Yeah.
Or I'll ex-husband.
I'll give Dixie credit. Her acting was good. That's Jason Hervey.
Hervey's doing it. She had that. Her eyes were starting to well up. She did the quivering chin.
Yeah.
And then she hit the weakest knee to the balls.
I know.
You know what? She needs to slow down a little bit, though. Her delivery, she's trying to rush through everything.
Dixie, I really think we just have to take things slow with your knee to my testicles.
The wonky eye was really fucking me up. Too.
She need him in the whimsy.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Yeah, that was rough, but it was a, I don't know.
No, it worked. The knee was weak, but the promo itself, I mean, what was worse, her knee or Linda McMahon taking the stunner?
Well, the Linda McMahon taking the stunner was so much funnier. She just fell sideways.
You know, I think they replayed that on one of the Legends shows I was watching on the network.
Really?
And they didn't use that back camera angle where you could just blatantly see her like fall sideways and away from him.
Yeah.
The way they angled it, it kind of looked like less bad than it was. I mean, it still wasn't perfect.
You ever watch in the beginning of Botchamania the one stunner that the ref takes? He takes it the same way, like Steve Austin completely misses him and the ref
falls
sideways.
I remember that. Which referee was that?
I don't know.
It wasn't Hebner, was it?
Was it Kyoto?
Probably Kyoto.
It might have been Kyoto, yes.
You'd think he'd know how to take a stunner. It's the easiest move.
Yeah, I've taken stunners.
Who hasn't? We've all given each other stunners in the backyard, which we will talk about this evening with Kevin Gill, Backyard Wrestling.
I actually took a stunner from one man Mike Dell.
Yeah, no one cares.
Mike Dell.
Yeah. Hey. It was in a real match, damn it.
So after this wonderful...
Dude, it was ECPW. It was not a real match.
Oh, come on now.
Still
I'm proud
real
of
to
my
me,
heritage.
Damn it. So after that gem of a promo, you get the Wolves again.
Oh.
Who's calling us?
No one. That's just someone signing on.
Oh, okay.
The Wolves have to fight again.
Again.
And they have to fight Bram and Magnus.
Hello, I'm Bram.
I'm British?
I'm Bram.
You went to say Bram and he burped and it kind of worked well.
Bram.
Hello.
Willow. Bram.
Hello.
Hello.
Whatever.
Nigel McGuinness.
It was nothing to write home about. And then Bram and Magnus are crazy and they're hardcore and they want to hurt you with a chair.
Bram.
So they try and smash him, and then
Bram, Bram, and then Bram.
Guess
Bram,
who makes
Bram.
The save?
Bram.
Crazy Steve.
No, crazy. There was no Crazy Steve.
Boo.
Bram, Bram.
Willow.
Whimsy.
Him and Abyss come out to save the day.
When did Abyss turn face? I don't remember.
When he came back to help Willow. In this fight against
when he came on Willow's
Bram
back?
And Magnus.
Oh, okay.
So
Bram is there to help. Magnus get his moxie back.
Yes, and it's worked so far.
He's got my moxie.
He's got my moxie again.
Some fucking whore returned. Some blonde chick with
Taryn
tits.
Terrell.
Hey, there she's a go. Mother now. Don't speak ill of the mother.
Great. That shit's all stretched out now.
Did she have a baby brown baby?
Baby brown.
She might have had a baby brown baby.
So she fucking comes back like anyone gives a shit.
Hey, she had an amazing match with Gail Kim last year, dude.
My baby
I will take your word for it.
And she had an amazing run when she was in WWE as the ECW commissioner.
She could run to the kitchen and get me a sandwich, that bitch.
Bram.
There you go.
Bram. Bram. Bram.
Then
Bram.
There's a fucking... Gail Kim cuts a fucking dumb promo.
Hello.
Say she cut a gasser.
Oh, hello. Welcome back. Hello.
And then the beautiful people interrupt and
brawl.
Oh,
we have a brawl for it all.
A waste of your
time. My husband make food.
My husband make better rice than me. My husband eat Chinese food every night.
He eat at the Y. Whimsy.
Now,
in your face.
Is it? I didn't know that Eric Young lost the world title until last night.
Whoops.
Is that bad journalistic review on my part?
It's not worse than watching Impact ever.
Yes. Yes. What do you guys think of...
Because I thought that would have been
big news.
Would have been all over the social media and Facebook.
You know how hard it was for me to even find someone's review of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view? I couldn't find it anywhere.
Dude,
no one covered it.
4-1 Mania didn't even have live. They usually do live coverage of TNA.
Nothing.
Not at all, dude. Not at all.
That's not cool.
But getting back to Lashley, I don't know, man. I just didn't seem to be as caring as it was when Eric Young won the title, 2 months ago?
You know, I was...
I don't think anybody really, cared.
No one cares. I was looking at ratings, and the ratings have gone up and stayed pretty steady with Eric Young as champion.
Yeah.
So it might be a mistake, but then again, I don't know.
Who knows?
He's black.
I like it.
He's a big guy, motherfucker.
He's a big guy. He's a monster. He's got MVP and Kenny King behind him. They're pulling strings.
I definitely like him as a heel much better.
See, that's the thing. Do you think that with MVP getting hurt, do you think MVP would have gotten the belt?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So they just put it on. They just wanted to put it on someone. They wanted it on MVP, but they couldn't, so they put it on Lashley.
So Bobby Lashley is like the Rock of the new brotherhood.
Basically.
And MVP is Farouk.
You know, Lashley isn't that terrible.
And Kenny King's
gonna
break
white
guy's
neck. He's not that bad.
Yeah, but he's... Who, Lashley? Or?
Yeah, Lashley.
Do you think he's a transitional champ? Do you think Eric Young gets it back in New York? Do you think...
I don't think Eric Young gets it back at all. He's wrestling Jeff Hardy in New York.
Willow!
Bobby Lashley.
Oh, Jeff Hardy?
Oh, we're spoiled. Did we spoil?
Who cares,
who cares? Yeah.
Midnight Jury is going to be upset.
That's all right, because Mike's not watching anymore because of what happened with the ring.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
It. You're out. Six-sided ring, you're out.
Yes.
Done.
That's it? Just that?
Why should I give him a chance? Did I sound like him?
Fucking spilling his martini all over the place.
What the?
He's tripping over himself. The studio's crashing into shambles.
Adam Hennings on fire, just running around for no reason.
He goes through a window, boom! Crashes through the window on fire.
I'm on fire.
Sydney Chadwick's just cutting herself in the bathroom.
Listening to, ruined it.
Tori Amos, we'll go with that.
Oh, I was going to say, what's the chick?
Sarah McLachlan.
All right, there you go.
Lula Fair.
Cut. Fiona Apple, that's what I was thinking of.
Children get older. What's that on the
I'll get older.
Fleetwood Mac?
Stevie Nicks?
Yeah, was that it? Is that the song?
You want the cancer song?
No, the cancer song is fucking
the Hawaiian
guy. Yes, the fat Hawaiian.
Oh, the fucking
Somewhere Over the Rainbow?
Yes.
Yeah, Jey Uso. He's in the kitchen making your Hawaiian burgers. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh,
gotta put the oos pineapple oos.
Do you remember?
Oos pineapple oos. When I say oos, you say pineapple. Oos.
Pineapple.
Oos.
Pineapple.
Jesus.
That's right.
Eddie, you Uso crazy.
Oh, God. Oh, Uso crazy, man.
Oh, God, I fucking hate you, WWE.
Uso also crazy.
You fucking dumb fucks.
Uso crazy.
Jesus. Anyway, so Bobby Lashley was the title.
My eyes tearing.
And then
post-match
beatdown, and then Bobby Roode comes through the crowd, and it looks like fucking Willow cut his hair. I don't know what's going on with his head.
Here I come.
And he makes the big save, so Bobby Roode's back.
Was he gone?
I said the same thing on the ride over. I had
apparently
no idea
he
that
was
he was
suspended.
Gone.
Who's the, was he the one that turned on Magnus? Or was that James
Magnus?
Storm?
Magnus.
Magnus. Willow.
He's so citrusy.
Oh, fuck.
Magnus.
Magma.
Magna.
Bram.
Schmagma.
Bram.
Yes.
Bram.
All right, so that was
I'll take
Impact.
The rapist for 200.
That was Impact in a nutshell.
Or your mother's a whore.
So crazy, Kevin.
I'll take anal bum cover for 400.
All rough, just the way your mother likes it. Fucking all right, what did you say?
Huh? That was Impact in a nutshell.
Impact sounded amazing.
I know.
I've never laughed so hard at an episode of wrestling.
That was the best Impact I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. To be honest with you, I kind of look forward to watching Impact more than Raw.
No, of course. We were just talking about our coverage of Impact. That was the funny part.
No, I was... Thanks.
I was talking about Impact.
You know, for a comedian,
great.
Sometimes your timing's fucking I'm the worst.
I'm not funny on this show. Uso, not funny.
If you listen back.
Kayfabe the comedy. Uso, it's so funny, Kevin.
Uso, not funny.
Uso gonna listen back. You laugh.
Uso, listen back.
Uso gonna
Uso,
die?
Uso, what is Jar Jar?
That Jar Jar being
Uso gonna die? Uso? Uso crazy.
Uso
going to die.
No. When I say Uso, you say pineapple.
When I say Uso, you say pineapple.
Uso. Pineapple.
Yeah. Wee. Willow.
I was fucking Naomi and everyone caught me.
Hey, I got fucking her two in the ass. She like it like that. Oh, it tastes like cake. It sure do.
All right, so that was Impact.
Baby brown hole, baby.
Where do we want to go from here?
Thanks, Eddie.
anywhere but down.
Well, while we're on the subject of TNA, let's talk about the six sides of suck.
Oh, okay. Come on, dude.
Why would you let your fucking fans vote on this, and why would you listen to them?
Don't.
You do realize that this was what they were going to do, regardless of what the fans
said. You really think so?
Yes!
Because so many TNA talent came out against it.
Yeah, because Dixie is evil. Don't you get it?
You know, evil backwards is live.
Yes.
Boom.
In your face.
He just dropped knowledge.
Fuck! I was off because I was thinking about
it waiting.
Too much, but here you go.
In your face!
Uso's smart.
Yeah, dude, honestly, all planned. That was their scheme from the beginning. Look at the last poll they had. What was it, 500 retweets? And they would, like, give up some pertinent information, and
they were going to say what the first match of the pay-per-view was.
And they got 200 retweets.
And they pulled it.
Yeah. So this time, it's like, well, we might as well just not let people know. Say, oh, look, the six-sided ring wins, and there we go. And just have all the guys that hate MVP and hate Dixie come out against it.
Yeah, but MVP and Dixie had nothing to do with it.
No, it was like Austin Aries.
Wait, Austin Aries wanted the six sides?
No,
he didn't.
I know what Tony's saying.
Yeah, Austin Aries is not under either one of their regimes.
They're not going to turn this into an angle.
No, it was an angle from the beginning. That's what I'm saying. Like, their intention from the beginning was to go back to the six-sided ring.
Yeah.
They were always going to do that.
Right.
They came up with this thing, like, let's put it to a vote and say, oh, look, all the fans wanted it. And then I'm like, you know what? We don't want it. Well, you know what? Dixie wants it.
But why would they turn the fans against the babyfaces speaking out against it?
No, the fans are supporting the babyfaces.
The fans wanted it. The babyfaces.
No, I thought they
didn't want it.
Yeah.
So why would they? How does that make sense? Pitting the fans against the babyfaces?
Because maybe it comes out in a month or two that, oh, look, here we got the real votes. It wasn't 6-1. It was 1-6.
Nothing like
this.
That will happen.
Yeah.
It's just back, dude. It's grasping at straws.
I agree that I think that they wanted it back the entire time.
I don't mind it. I don't mind
it. Terrible
matches in that. It looks bad. The ring, the canvas just looks smaller. No one knows where to run.
All right,
they don't bounce.
Let me
it's
tell
like
you
running
a quick story.
Into a wall.
I don't watch Lucha Libre all that often, but if I'm home on a Saturday afternoon, I know it's on. I search it out. The last thing on my mind is, wow, that's a fucked up ring. Like, I don't care. It's six sides. It gives it a different look.
Their ring is bigger, Lucha. This one's a little smaller, it seems.
Well, maybe it's the size
of
the
but
ring,
you know what?
You know?
Those guys kind of know how to work in it.
Yeah, but you hear people bitching and moaning all the time. The WWE ring is the hugest. It's 20 by 20, which is a pain in the ass to run. You hear even Austin talking about it when he came from ECW and WCW. So people are going to bitch anyway. Look at the 80s. The 80s rings in WWF had no spring whatsoever.
But they looked good.
That's the point. But everybody complained. Jesus Christ, Dynamite Kid, who fucking jumped off of everything and landed on everything with his head, complained how awful those rings were to bump around.
Yeah, but it wasn't up to the fans to put it there.
Well, it wasn't up to the boys either, because the boys were, you know, like, they would have loved a softer ring.
It should be up to management, and management should be making smart decisions.
Well, I won't get into that, but bottom line is the six-sided ring is back, and I think it's here to stay, and I personally don't mind it. But then again, it's not my decision.
I just don't get it. Who does it benefit?
It's a different look.
No,
it's what makes
I know it's
stand
a different
out.
Look, but what they're doing now, like, they're not even focusing on the X Division. And
maybe they're going back to it. Maybe that's why they wanted the six-sided ring again.
You have the
Bram.
Fucking Sonata.
Bram.
Tigre Uno.
Bram, bram.
You're bringing
bram,
in
bram.
Muda this weekend.
And Manic.
And Man. I mean, that's really it.
Poor Manic.
I feel bad for him, dude. We had him on. Like, the future was bright for that kid, you know?
That was, as soon as they took his mask off and said, hey, this is so-and-so, and then he put it back on, he's just Suicide with a different
name. He's Avatar.
Yeah,
he's Al Snow.
Yeah, he's like Al Snow. I mean, come on.
He's Avatar.
Why couldn't they just awful gimmick that was.
Shinobi.
That was bad. Shinobi was bad. Avatar was really bad.
Shinobi had the ponytail, right?
Yeah.
And then they chopped it off and he became Avatar.
Yeah. Avatarded.
Who's so crazy?
I'm a retarded genie.
The name of this episode is going to be Terrible Puns.
Terrible Puns.
By the Shining Wizard.
I was thinking Avatarded might make it.
Avatarded is pretty good.
I think
Who's So Crazy.
Who's So Crazy.
We got a few runners tonight.
Who's So Avatarded. There it is.
Oh,
ring the bell, Tony.
Winner, winner.
There
chicken
it is.
Dinner.
Yes, so here's the thing. Don't let the fans vote on something they have no idea what it's about. They really don't. I don't even think cosmetically it looks better.
I think it looks terrible.
It looks like a fucking jumpy house for kids, like a fucking balloon jumpy house.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I know what?
The only great thing that Hogan did in TNA was tell them, hey, wrestling's supposed to be done in four sides.
In a fucking ring.
Hogan said we're getting rid of the playpen, which
yes!
was
great.
His first 3 minutes on TV, he shit on their products.
Good. And then he continued to shit on it.
Do you
for
really
the
think
remainder of his time there?
This area needs a little diarrhea, brother.
Diarrhea, brother.
The ring, changing the ring, what? Like,
nothing.
It does nothing. Do you really think that's going to draw another couple hundred thousand people to watch your show because you wrestle in a fucking.
Competent booking changes.
Yeah.
That's what will change things. Not being like, oh, here's our mystical new ring.
Willow.
And what do you think people are going to channel surf and be like, oh, is a Ferris wheel doing there? Yeah. Why are they wrestling
in a spider web?
I heard a rumor that the new ring is going to have
MMA?
It's an energy drink dispenser in the northwest corner.
Did Teddy Hart invent it?
And if you ring a bell, a horse comes out and you can backflip off of it.
And a horse comes out. Didn't they have an energy drink on their ring for a while? Like
they used to have advertisements.
Was it Mama
Joanna?
Mama JBL.
Okay.
Yes.
JBL's Mama Joanna. So we always plug that on Smack Deezy.
All right.
Jesus.
Stacker 2. That's what it was.
That's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. So two. Are we done with TNA?
Could be.
I think so.
Until, I guess, next week?
Yeah. Until next
Same
time.
Bat time.
But
until next time.
I don't understand them coming into the Hammerstein and taping their one night only shows.
They're looking for big crowds.
They're looking for fan reaction.
Why there's going to be one empty seat there?
Like tomorrow night's tomorrow or what's today? No,
today two nights, is two, two
Thursday.
Two
Thursday night's Impact is taped.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you just tape a live show? From
spoiler:
the
Zema Ion wins the belt. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, it doesn't.
Wait. So this week's Impact in 2 days from now is still going to be a Sands Casino?
Yes.
Well, yeah, you spoilers, right? You said spoilers before?
Yeah.
Spoilers?
Yeah, I thought they were like,
Which means here's the thing. While they're taping Impact in New York, there still will be impacts in the can that haven't happened yet.
Right.
They're not doing live impacts from New York?
I think the impacts from New York are like the one night only bullshit pay-per-view things that they're trying to do.
No, there's an episode of Impact 2 from New York.
Yeah, I would imagine. Why would they put so much money into it and not take advantage?
They're taping 3 days, which is probably like Impact until January.
That's funny because it's June.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I thought they had to be doing at least one thing live.
No, none of it's live.
None of it's live.
Okay. No.
It's not live.
You know what? I honestly don't think it could be live in New York City because there's going to be some chants like, fuck you, Dixie, that cannot air. And
right.
They will have to censor
that. No, because Dixie's a heel, so they might just like mute the audio.
There is going to be other chants too. I bet you like, fuck the six sides or something like that. You know,
yeah. I like when you think about like both sides of the coin on why it's good and why it's bad that it's taped. The good is obviously the cursing that the crowd could be totally against your product.
Yeah,
but I don't think New York will do that.
Yeah, but if they curse out Dixie,
if they give you wrestling and just quiet down all the freaking stupid talking,
I don't think they'll kill because I mean you have the Wolves, you have Eric Young, you have guys on there that people can get behind. You know,
yeah.
If they give us Willow, well, then they're gonna have a big problem.
It's all Jeff Hardy. They have the Hardy brothers reuniting.
Thank God.
which I think will be cool.
Yeah.
Because Matt Hardy's...
Yeah, they have to come correct with some good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because they know Dixie's automatically going to be a heat magnet, and EC3 and whoever else is with her. So they got to give them the guys that they can pretty... Like, Joe has to be featured.
Yes.
Joe's got to be
in a prominent role.
And he's got to win. If he loses, dude, they'll riot in that place.
Depends on the who.
It'd probably be like...
Lashley or...
like no, it'd probably be like EC3 or Spud
Kenny
or something
King.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Is Kennedy still around?
Yeah, he was on the
isn't he in the loony bin with that guy?
No, well, Gunner's in the loony bin with Sam Shaw.
Wait, is Gunner, Gunner's there?
He's trying to help Sam Shaw.
Why?
Because
is this a spoiler or did this happen?
No, this has happened.
Did Sam Shaw come out and try to like apologize to something?
No, not yet.
Waddle
do? I don't think so.
That may have been a spoiler then. My bad.
Fuck. Yay. Who cares? If you like TNA, watch TNA. What else can we say?
There,
Fuck that shit. Like, we have to sit here and apologize because five people that listen to us enjoy TNA? Come
no
on.
No one's apologizing for anything.
Well, Kevin's like, I'm sorry, spoilers. Who cares?
Well, I mean, some people don't read all the spoilers.
No, I'm just trying to make Kevin feel better. Like, he feels all bad.
Oh, guys.
He's giving something
I'd rather not Kathy give out Hummer. Spoilers.
Kathy Hummer.
Like, kill yourself.
try to go out of my... I'm not deliberately trying to spoil stuff for people.
Kathy Hummer.
In your face.
Tony, I got a joke.
What's that?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Kathy Hummer.
In your face.
Jesus Christ.
You have AIDS.
Why, guys?
Keep it up. I'm a nigga.
Hey, we got Kevin Gill coming
on
in a few
minutes.
Yeah.
Did you watch Fox and Friends this morning with all the TNA gang?
Every day.
Do you?
No. What the fuck is Fox and Friends? Is it a fucking...
Alicia Fox holds...
Do they hang out with a fox?
What does the fox say?
Under the whimsy tree.
Oh, it's Alicia Fox's new show.
Okay. Cool. TNA. Then wait a minute, but she's a WWE gal.
Whee!
Oh, my God. How funny would it be if the TNA people hung out with, like, a fox puppet and just had a show with fox puppets?
They call it Fox and Friends?
Yeah, it's just Fox and Friends, but it's only just TNA guys and a fox.
Yeah, I think that's Eric Young's show on Animal Planet. They actually do that.
That's called No One Watches and Friends.
No, his thing, what's it, Off the Hook?
Yeah.
People off the Chain?
That. No, Off
that's
the Hook.
That's Eric's new
Young.
Show.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Eric, EY.
Go with what? What did they do? They had EY, Lashley
attacked them.
Attacked the fox.
The fox. Arr, arr, whatever sound the fox makes.
It's not a pirate.
I'm
the fox.
You might as well be a fucking pirate.
Walk the plank.
That would
be a show I would watch. A pirate
fox. Fox.
Yeah.
Fox and Friends. Arr, me mateys. I am
Fox and Mateys. It is Fox and Mateys.
Walk the branch.
Past guest of the show, Gunner, is going to be honored at the Mets game tonight in front of 37 people.
Please tell me he's throwing the first pitch out.
No, he's the they do like an honorary armed forces thing. And
cool.
He's the guy tonight. So
that's all right.
Good
I mean,
for him.
That's great.
If you were,
yeah, whatever. I don't care. Fuck.
Oh, that's
just,
awesome.
Props to him and you know all 64 people at the Mets game.
God bless.
It just doubled. Your attendance figure just doubled.
Well, Matt just plugged Gunner being there, so you know.
I'm a Mets fan.
You
I got
to
feel good
Mets
about
reference.
Something.
Yes.
I didn't have to.
Yeah,
they're already losing. Don't worry about it.
98 people will be there.
Thank you. Nice. We're reaching the 100 mark.
Almost.
How many of those are comps?
98 people will be there.
95 are comps.
Bram. Bram's a comp.
Bram's a comp.
Willow will be there.
Whimsy.
So what else we got?
Well, I mean, Kevin Gill's going to be calling in a few, so I don't know if we can really go into
anything.
Yeah,
why don't we...
Can I just make one point before we go to break?
Sure.
One of the conquistadors or matadors, Epico, Fernando, I guess he is.
Okay.
He got hurt. He has a knee and an ankle injury at the one of the house shows over the weekend.
Okay. Yeah.
The only reason I bring it up is because it was in Newark, Delaware, and it harkened me back to the days that we used to do all those readings. Like, hey guys, did you hear the news?
Did you hear the news?
Epico got hurt in Delaware.
Hey, and isn't it awesome that they put Tyson Kidd with them?
That's where you hit the boom, boom, boom.
Oh, it was too much.
Is he in a mask?
No, he's not in a mask, but he's teaming with them and the fucking midget.
Who are they feuding with?
I thought you meant that Tyson Kidd was the midget.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Let's go back in time. That was the joke. Let's go back in time and say that was the joke. No, actually, no. This is reality.
I saw his name on the House Show report. Somewhere.
That's not nearly as funny as it was meant to be.
Wait, who are they feuding with?
I think it was like Justin Gabriel.
No, Justin Gabriel.
The one man band.
There. No, it was Hornswoggle.
Heath Slater.
No, I forget. But all I know is Tyson Kidd was involved.
All right. Well, we'll look this up.
Or we could just say who gives a fuck and move on.
It's a Newark, Delaware house show involving a matador, a bull, and Tyson Kidd.
There Newark? Is that New Jersey?
It's a Deathbringer podcast. Pro wrestling and heavy metal podcast. Wrestling headlines and metal news in your fucking face. Guest interviews while your hosts, Brian and John, the least metal names you'll ever come across, get completely shit-faced. New episodes every 2 weeks because they're busy every other week drinking booze and fucking bitches on neckbreaker.net. Follow them on Twitter or Facebook at NB Podcast.
Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he is the co-star of ICP Theater on Fuse TV. He is the voice of JCW Wrestling, and he is the host of The Kevin Gill Show, available on kevingillshow.com and iTunes, the one and only Kevin Gill.
Woo! Yeah, what's up, Shining Wizards?
What's up, Kevin Gill?
What's up, Kevin?
It's an honor to be here today. I see the buzz everywhere for the podcast. Everybody who's everybody is rocking the shirt, you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
From New Japan to New Jersey, you know what I mean? All points in between.
Goddamn right.
Man, Kevin, you know, we're here to put you over tonight. You don't have to put us over. This is your night, sir.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate joining the long list of well-respected and tenured guests you've had on your show. And again, really cool to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, man. This was definitely long overdue. Me and Eddie met you back at PWS when you and the ICP came in, and they were guest commissioners for the night. That was radical. We've been meeting to have you on since then. So it's our pleasure for sure.
One love.
There it is.
There's the positivity.
There it is.
That's what I like.
So I mentioned in the intro, Kevin, the Kevin Gill Show. Where did the idea of a podcast come from? Did you just what? Yeah. Ugh, excuse me. Sorry.
oh God, what an idiot.
No, I have. It's not as radical as your question. But the idea of a podcast, I mean, is this something that's been in the works? I mean, you've done video games, you're involved in ICP, you love wrestling, you love music. Is this something you've wanted to do for a while?
Yeah, you know, like, I think, like, with my background in improv comedy and my love of professional wrestling commentary, there's, like, a kind of like a magic that happens there, and then that magic only happens in certain times or certain places, you know what I mean? It's like, then it becomes dependent on there being a giant wrestling show needed to have that kind of experience or have that kind of dialogue. So I was trying to think of other ways that I could produce content, you know what I mean? Just produce content based on stuff that I really like. And then further simplified, how could I do it completely by myself? Because a lot, you know how it is. There's great people, and you guys obviously have assembled a great team there, but sometimes due to geography and other reasons, you can end up where you don't have like a super team where it's just you. So you want to be able to say, hey, what could I do if I had no one to count on? You know what I mean? And just wanting to try a new direction, basically to create an avenue, you know what I mean? To create my own stream of output of something that every week I can put it out, you know, to the best of my ability. Sometimes I'm late, but to answer your question directly, you know, what was it inspired by? You know, all those things were factors, but what inspired it was listening to The Art of Wrestling by Colt Cabana, by being on, can I curse on here?
Absolutely. We encourage it.
By being on W Fuck Off Radio, you know, for the main event radio show with Violent J and Too Tough Tony. And we did, you know, tons of episodes of that, both in studio and stuff with me remote. And it just felt like something like, man, I should kind of be in the space. You know what I mean? So those are all kind of the factors that played into it. And then it was just a matter of trying to figure out what's a spin I can put on it. Because at that time, you know, 20 episodes ago, January 1st, I thought, man, the podcast market is oversaturated. And granted, that was before Jim Ross, Chris Jericho, you know what I'm saying, on and on. A lot of people have entered since I started, you know what I mean? So it just makes it more of a crowded marketplace. So it was important to try to come up with something that maybe is a little bit different than what everyone else offers at the moment, you know?
Yeah, man. And it seems like you have your hands in a little bit of everything. I just want to go back in time a little bit to how exactly did you get your start in the music scene in New York? Because I know it was a pretty intense scene back then when you were, you know, just getting started with everything. What drew you to the scene and how did you get your hands in it?
Well, I don't know. I think that these are my own theories and speculations, obviously. Some of them have been confirmed by other people in the music scene. Other people may feel differently. But it feels like in New York hardcore, a lot of the New York hardcore scene, or a good portion of it, is people from either, you know, broken homes or different types of, you know, difficult home situations or whatever, and or a sense of not belonging. And then they find the sense of belonging in the dangerous streets of the Lower East Side, you know, New York hardcore. But it was like this just kind of underground community, this brotherhood. And all that sounds like silly to say, like in the modern world, but this is before Facebook, before any of that, like, you know what I'm saying? It was just reality. So what drew me to it was, you know, the sound of it and the lyrics and the message and, you know, bands like Sick of It All and Murphy's Law and the Gorilla Biscuits and Ludacris and Six and Violence and all these great bands, as I can, Agnostic Front, the Cro-Mags, you know, and this sense of being drawn to this, these other people that don't fit in, but they're making the most of it somehow, you know what I mean? And as performers, they're always seeming to be these world-class performers. And then you go down to the shows and it seems like a really dangerous place, and maybe it is, but then because you want to be there, you're accepted. You know, I see a lot of parallels between it and the Juggalo world, which most everyone would disagree with me saying that, but just the idea of it, what's wrong with finding a sense of community and fraternity among people who love the same type of music that speaks to their soul? You know what I mean? That's my theory.
100%, and I'm glad you mentioned the Juggalos, your love for the New York hardcore scene, and the family atmosphere. Did that lead to your involvement with the Insane Clown Posse?
Well, it's weird. I was a super New York hardcore fan, and then I started, you know, just from being around it and meeting bands and going to all the shows. Then I started, you know, being like, why doesn't this band have a record out? And what would it take to put out a record? And starting to put out records and things like that. But basically, I just kept doing that and doing that, and that was my whole world. So I was aware of what was going on in the music industry, and at the time, I would see like articles about ICP, like in the music trade papers and stuff, and in the like East Coast music periodicals and stuff that I would advertise in and get information from and stuff like that. I'd always be like, oh, I wonder what that's all about. You know what I mean? It seems so different than Sick of It All or Agnostic Front. You know what I mean? Like, wow, clowns. You know what I mean? And I loved hip hop. You know what I mean? Like that was something I grew up on too. But then one day I saw them. They had a wrestling tape called Stranglemania.
Commentary, we all know that well.
And I watched it, and it was literally like the greatest thing I've ever seen. It perfectly blended comedy and passion and improv comedy and performance, and it embraced. It had everything in it that I believe in one piece, and it was fucking hilarious. Blow your mind type shit. And at the end of that tape was a chicken hunting video, and I was like, here's these guys rocking some venue in front of like 3,500 people. People are hanging off the fucking lighting rig. This is very familiar to me, but at the same time, it's like this even bigger thing. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, wow, what is this phenomenon? I'm looking at a phenomenon, and I like it. You know what I mean? And then from there, I was just a fan, you know what I mean, and bought every album that's ever come out since.
Yeah, man, I remember fondly with Shining Wizards Matt just sitting up in his room watching the tape of Stranglemania with Lama Nama Numi and Deadly Fred and Drunk Terry Flunk, and holy shit, man, like that really blew my mind. And that was around the time that we started getting into Insane Clown Posse. Great Malenko came out around that time, and that shit just really blew our minds. I mean, just wow, just completely phenomenal stuff. Now, going back, you know, you're mixing the music with the wrestling. How long have you been a wrestling fan? Did you grow up loving wrestling the same way music?
Yeah, like growing up in New York City, was a wrestling, it still is, I guess, a wrestling town. But back then, even more so, you know what I mean? So even if you didn't watch it, enough kids at school did, and everyone would be talking about it, and there'd be wrestling magazines at school, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you would find out about stuff. So I started watching from an early age, like, you know, old WWF TV as it was then. And that was dope. And then I was into that for a bunch of years. And then when I got into music, I kind of was like, wrestling was kind of getting into the kind of the darker days of the Philly characters. And I like the original Philly characters, but, you know, I was also exposed to Jim Watts, Universal Wrestling Federation, and NWA stuff. And, you know, so I had a more advanced view where I'm like, I don't want to watch the guy who steals the cars or the giant turkey suit guy, you know? And that was when I got more into music and stuff. But then ECW brought me back to wrestling. Like, the buzz of ECW came through the music underground, so to speak, to me, the same way Stranglemania did. And I was drawn to it like a moth to the flame. And both of those things, both ECW and JCW / ICP / Stranglemania, have had huge impacts on my life. Like, those things, like, if it wasn't for ECW, I would have never put out two wrestling video games for Ad-Os Interactive. You know what I mean? If I never did that, I would have never really started working with ICP and then been in their movie and on their TV. You know what I mean? All these things come back to, I wouldn't have a podcast. I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? It all comes from, to me, those jump offs, those moments in time, you know, where the answer was yes and move forward no matter what, you know?
Yeah, man. And you brought up the video games, you know, the backyard wrestling video game. And I noticed today there was a bit of a debate about backyard wrestling and backyard wrestlers and pro wrestling. And you or someone on your page made a really valid point that 90% of the guys right now that are in the business all started in the backyard. So
100%.
It's the truth. It really is the truth. Now, I understand the hatred towards booking untrained guys for, you know, promotions and things like that. But the hatred towards backyard wrestling, man, we all did it. I think every wrestler did it. And I really don't understand why it's such like a taboo thing if everyone that's on top of their game now has done it.
Right. No, I think it's just a matter of people that are low on the totem pole wanting to hate on the people that are one inch down on the, you know, the super local independent wrestlers who are then hating on. In other words, I understand the point and I agree with the point. In other words, if you're a trained professional with gear and you're seriously trained and you can work and all that, and then you're sharing the ring or sharing the locker room with someone who is not really ready to be there, nor are they maybe trained or committed or whatever.
Right.
100% agree with them on that. But to hate the very existence of them, it's kind of like if you played in Metallica. Do you hate some three teenagers that are kind of playing shit in their garage and they kind of suck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're all part of it, too. Matt Stryker said the other day to me that no one can tell you that you're not allowed to be in wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For whatever it's worth. But, I mean, I do believe in training, and it is – obviously, it's one thing, you know, you have to be trained if you want to be a wrestler, you know, period.
Absolutely. And when we were growing up and I was doing the backyard wrestling thing, completely untrained, and a friend of mine who was a promoter, he threw me into a match completely untrained. But back then, when you're young, when you're 18, you're 19 years old, you're not smartened up. You're thrown in that locker room like, oh, this is awesome. I can do this. I think it's more on the promoter than it is on the backyard guys that are back there.
Right, yeah, because exactly. The guy's not going to turn to, hello, you want me to be on your show? No way.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah, so the hatred should be towards the jabroni promoters, not these poor kids.
Well said. Well said. Thank you.
So
contribution has been made to our culture.
Yes, absolutely. So I had that video game. You've worked on a lot of other video games. So share with us, Grand Theft Auto you worked on. What else have you been a part of?
I mean, back in the day, stuff like Grand Theft Auto, Monster Truck Madness 64, a whole ton of games like Tomb Raider, Hitman. You got me on the spot. I haven't asked one of these questions in a minute. But what is it? There's a whole thing up on whatever it's called, Moby Games or whatever. It's like the IMDb of gaming. But, I mean, in more recent years, the Transformers, Saints Row, Epic Mickey, and games like that. But those games, basically, I worked in marketing and the creative side and brand management for a number of years, and that's when I was working on Grand Theft Auto, when I worked at Rockstar, when I worked at IDOS, et cetera. When I then went on to do other things, which was more business development work. So it's, you're credited, but in other words, in that case, I'm putting together deals that are become instrumental to a component of the production or the experience, if that's vague enough. You know what I mean? So I'm credited on a lot of games recently. But aside from the ones where I contribute my voice to them, it's more like I did business for it and I'm credited in it. Where on other games, I would be very involved in the marketing, like writing the taglines and directing the creative and writing the TV commercials and even placing the ads and stuff like that. If you go back in history, if you talk about ECW, the very first night ECW made their premiere on TNN, the Nashville network, their program was brought to you by Rockstar Games Monster Truck Madness. I personally made our media people buy the first, it was first week or first 2 weeks of title sponsorship on that ECW show. One, because we had Kevin Nash and other wrestling characters on the commercial and in the related to the game, you know.
Yeah.
But two, because it was ECW, man, and I wanted their fucking title sponsor spot to sell the moment it became available. You know what I mean? To give them that for whatever it was worth, with whatever hell they were going through with the Nashville network.
Yeah.
That could be my small contribution to give back to ECW. You know.
Right. That seems like the one good idea that was done on the Nashville network for ECW was working with them.
I always say this, but so we would have the sales reps, the people from the network would always come to the company to sell us on and pitch us on why we should buy their certain shows. And, oh, we got this new show. You're going to love it. So right when ECW was getting ready to launch, they came in to present to us. And I'm all like waiting for the ECW part of the pitch, you know?
Yeah.
And that part never comes. The whole thing's about Roller Jam and how great Roller Jam is.
Oh, God.
And then I'm like, hey, I'm like, but isn't, you know what I mean? And I start quoting ratings numbers and stuff, which nobody liked except the people I work with.
Yeah. Of course.
But it was just one of those things, yeah. But I'm a diehard ECW supporter. I believe that ECW completely is the spark that lit the fuse that changed the industry. They completely did the Austins, the Foleys, the Guerreros, on and on. And there you go. Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars, all sparked out of a bingo hall at Paul Heyman's mother's basement next to the washing machines where Joey Styles would cut the promos.
Hell yeah, man. And it's a phenomenal story if you think back on it. Now, let us know how you got involved with ICP, how exactly you met them. Was it through working with the video games? Was it more music related?
I met them originally when I was working at Rockstar. We did the commercial for Monster Truck Madness. And one of the camera guys, someone who worked on the television commercial with me, came into the office to pick up their pay. And I always forget, I either had on a Mick Foley shirt or a ICP shirt, and I'm talking to the guy, and he's like, hey, you know, I think I had an ICP shirt on, and he's like, hey, you know those guys are in town, right? And I'm like, and I knew they were filming their movie in New York City, and I'm like, oh, are you working on their movie? And he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm the director of photography, like, do you want to come down to the set and watch us shoot some stuff? And I'm just like, fuck yeah, you know? So, and then he brought up the Mick Foley, something with Mick Foley, too. I forget what it was. There was some tie-in between Mick Foley. I always forget this part of the story. But anyway, then I went down there, and me and Armando from Fahrenheit 451, like a New York hardcore band, we went down there, and we just watched them film a bunch of scenes and met Violent J and his brother, Jump Steady, Rob Bruce, afterwards. And they were just super awesome to us. And then I didn't really... have much contact with them again until maybe a year or two later. I moved to California, got the job out here, and they had always said, like, oh, hit us up, you know, but I always felt like, oh, they don't want me to bother. Who the fuck am I to call up these and bother them, like, oh, hit us up, you know? They're just being polite. They don't want to, if I call them up, they'd be like, who the fuck is this, you know?
Right.
But they had, at any rate, then once the game, I started to get the Backyard Wrestling game kicking. Once the game was actually greenlit and formally into production, the first thing I did was make an internal presentation for why we needed ICP in the game. And then the same day, it was like, all right, get them. So then I just contacted them again from meeting them before to be like, hey, let's do this video game thing. And then I worked with them. I went out to Detroit to the Lotus Pod studio. That's where we recorded their dialogue and stuff for the game, which was cool. I wanted to make it as easy as possible for them to deliver the best performances. And why fly all the way to California to do, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
25 minutes of VO when you could do it at the studio. And I just went there to direct it, which was you know, that was interesting.
All right. So now jumping back, Kev, to the Kevin Gill Show, which you can find on iTunes. Of course, you have
like basically a name of names list in the world of like punk and hardcore music and wrestling. Rhino, Bad Influence, Lars from Rancid, who's one of my favorite bands growing up, was Rancid. What do you get more satisfaction out of, having someone from the music scene or having someone that you admire in the pro wrestling scene, or is there no difference?
Well, I guess you can look at it a couple of ways. Like, in one way, it's no difference because it's awesome just to have an interview done and have it be awesome and be able to, you know, share it with the world. But I do notice that I feel like wrestlers obviously have a billion places they can be interviewed and often are interviewed. And some of these hardcore musicians and underground musicians don't seem to me to have, on the surface anyway, the sheer volume of opportunities to be interviewed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in that regard, if I'm able to, and again, that doesn't apply to everybody, obviously, you know what I'm saying? Like Lars Fredrickson and Andrew WK and Sick of It All, those guys aren't, or John Joseph, they're not feeling any shortage, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Like, definitely.
I think any time that you can just connect with different people that can tell their story and other people will take something from it, and to have people like Rikishi and Violent J and Lars Fredrickson and Freddie Madball and these people give their time and give these really candid interviews, you know, everyone else and their mother, and no offense, obviously, to the Shining Wizards, everything's on the phone or on Skype or whatever. I go the extra yard, which takes a fuckload of time and effort to do every interview in person. You know what I mean? So we're coming up on 20 episodes, every one of them done in person. And it just gives you this extra sound quality and this extra connection with the person. But granted, it's a lot harder to arrange, you know, on a traveling talent's schedule.
Yeah, and you mentioned the traveling talent coming up in the end of July. Gathering of the Juggalos, the 15th anniversary. I mean, you want to talk about traveling talent. Everybody, I mean, I'm looking, juggalogathering.com, I'm looking at the site now. There's pictures of Joey Fatone from NSYNC, like, DJing in just a sea of Faygo and Juggalos. Being the 15th anniversary, what's to be expected, and how many years have you been attending the gathering?
Man, I've been attending the gathering nonstop since, 2003 or 4.
Wow.
It's been
quite a few. I feel
like it's
coming up on 10 years of strike gathering.
Jesus.
Now,
but,
sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
For the 15th annual or whatever, you know, I think a big part of the attraction, obviously, is always the music. You know, you get these diverse music headliners interspersed with all the kind of all the psychopathic family, you know, the hometown artists, so to speak. So, you know, you got Cypress Hill, Insane Clown Posse, Yellow Wolf, Cannibal Corpse, Hobson, Anybody Killer, you know what I'm saying, Ex-Murder Boys, Biohazard, Blaze You Dead Homie. It just, the list goes on and on. Like, from like the Strange Music side, you got Tech N9ne, Infest Crew, Cypress Hill, The Mafia 6, Dark Lotus. It's just, and that's just the main stage. You know, there's comedy stages with Gilbert Gottfried and Mick Foley,
yes,
doing comedy appearances. Yeah. There's special themed wrestling events on, the events run Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all night. So there'll be a wrestling show every night, every one of those nights, with a different theme. And of course, Saturday is the granddaddy of them all, if you will, Bloody Mania.
Yes.
Very excited about that. I just opened for Mick Foley doing some comedy. You're going to enjoy, if you haven't. Have you seen his stuff?
Oh, yeah, several/many times.
There you go. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Gilbert, I've seen. He's actually really good. You've probably seen him as well. Joey Gay, I know. He's really good as well. But, again, I'm probably not telling you anything that you don't already know, Kev.
Now, see, I'm looking at the Gathering of the Juggalos site, and I'll tell you, the bands, the wrestling, it's all great. But 150-foot slip and slide, I'm in. That's fucking awesome.
On a hot day, what could be better? You know what? Who knows? I don't know if they'll have it hooked up near the lake where you could just, you know, shoot right off the slip and slide into the lake, you know? I'm not sure.
Kev,
that'd be phenomenal.
The slip and slide. Do you have any kind of input as to what goes into? No, like what is that like? Like, do you sit in there with the guys and like, hey, what about 150-foot slip and slide, or like any other ideas? You know, are you part of that process?
I mean, for the gathering, I mean, I'm involved in the Jungle Championship Wrestling and all the wrestling shows that are going to, because there is two outside shows that are going on, so to speak, as part of it. That's my deal or whatever. The gathering itself, the mega spectacular, you know, thing, that's Jump Steady and his team make that magic happen. I could throw in an idea if I want to, but I cannot pretend to insinuate that I even could dream of 150-foot or 850-foot, whatever the case may be.
Jesus.
Fucking fly.
Damn. Yeah, dude, and that sounds awesome, and we're going to tell everyone to get out there. Real quick, we don't want to spend too much time on this topic, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask about it. Just recently, the FBI just asked the Supreme Court or the government to drop a lawsuit that pretty much paints the Juggalos and the Insane Clown Posse in a negative light. What is your take on this whole dramatic scenario in terms of how the Juggalos are categorized?
Well, you know, obviously I can only speak for myself, Kevin Gill, the individual. I can't speak for Psychopathic or ICP or for the Juggalo Nation in this matter. I can just speak for myself. But, right. I mean, my personal opinion is I think it's preposterous to classify essentially fans of a certain style of music as gang members, and then to issue official government documents to local law enforcement and other offices identifying these people as gangs. It sets a precedent. It infringes on people's ability to complete their armed forces services. It infringes on people's ability to win or retain custody of children because of, so to speak, gang tattoos or gang memorabilia. It just said it's preposterous. It's unprecedented in American history, and the whole world will stand up and go wild when a bunch of girls from Russia are mistreated or abused because of the country they live in doesn't have freedoms. But our country is supposed to have freedoms, and we're watching the kind of legal system and even the federal government to some extent just kind of make a mockery of things. To say Juggalos are a gang, it's fucking preposterous, you know? So now they want the case thrown out, but I'm sure they do because it's brought them nothing but negative attention. And I guess if they had any proof to back up their claims or any rationale, you know what I mean? I think that's what it's all about, is they want to be removed from this database, so to speak. And the other side is, you don't have a case to say that. But I think if you're impacting people's lives, if the federal government is impacting individual citizens' lives with rulings that seem to be against the law or against the Constitution, then shouldn't someone stand up for that?
Absolutely.
It's absurd. My brother is a Juggalo through and through, tattoos, the whole nine. And I've been to a ton of ICP shows, and the fan base, Painted Faces and Faygo, it's just a family atmosphere. Everyone's there to have a good time. You don't expect it when you go in. You go to a Slayer show, you know what you're getting. A bunch of fucking angry white dudes who are just looking to punch somebody in the face. But you get together with Faygo and Juggalos and ICP, and they got the stage show and JCW. They're jumping off ladders, putting people through tables. It's just a fucking great time, and it's a family atmosphere, and it's all fun. And it's absurd that they'd go out of their way to target the Juggalos and make such absurd
allegations
against them.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, man, and I'm sure the Juggalos listening and maybe some of the non-Juggalos could understand that, hey, at the end of the day, we're all people, right? And especially for wrestling fans are looked down on by, I don't know, most everybody in the world. We're all unified in being pretty near the lower rung of the ladder of what's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not trance DJs that, you know, dress in European slacks or whatever, whether we're wrestling fans or ICP fans or whatever. Why try to get so much joy out of shitting on people you perceive to be beneath you when if you you know, stood up straight and put your ass back in your pants and stopped shitting on people, you might find out that there's some cool people out there. Every group has idiot people. And then have you ever been somewhere and a bunch of assholes in sports jerseys comes in and like from the game and they're all just licked up fucking idiots? You know what I mean? Does that mean every person ever that wears sports gear is an idiot? No. Does it mean you might be wary of people in sports gear all the time? Maybe. But it doesn't mean you should judge everybody. You know what I'm saying? Why don't they go through the police databases and look at every person who's ever been arrested and has a mugshot wearing a fucking AC/DC shirt? Are they a gang?
That'd be a cool gang.
Tens of thousands of photos like that, and that's just in the Midwest.
Yeah. That is true. But you know what? You're making way too much sense. I mean, we're talking about the federal government here, and sometimes I just don't think there's any logic. I got a question for you. This might be pretty hard to answer because I'm sure there's plenty of moments. But in your time with the music industry and with wrestling and ICP and everything like that, what's the most memorable moment that you have? Like, what really stands out? Like, holy shit, this is phenomenal.
I mean, doing the commentary with Shaggy Tuto, me and Shaggy doing commentary for these pay-per-views and Bloody Mania, you know, it's hard to put it to just to one of them. You know what I mean? Just the idea that it's Shaggy Tuto and Kevin Gill from Whitestone Queens or whatever,
yeah,
and we're the commentary team, and I'm just me. My gimmick is that I'm myself. You know what I mean? That's hard to believe, and just that alone is absolutely mind-blowing. But On the flip side, like, I don't know, being on the TV show with ICP is hard to believe it's hard to explain, really, but it's hard to believe that it's real. It doesn't feel real in a way. It's like you watch it on TV and it's just like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
Is that show taped in L.A. or New York, by the way, ICP Theater?
Oh, in New York.
All right, that's what I thought. That's just my own question. That's all.
Good question, Kevin.
Awkward.
Thank you.
Yeah, nothing beats looking at
it. It's hard. Like, I'm just trying to think. You know, like I had a lot of cool memories of just getting to meet. Like, one just funny story. One time, I go to this concert and my friend is like working on the tour, so he's like, "I'll meet you outside and I'll just bring you in. I'll bring you downstairs into the backstage." I'm like, "Okay." So it's for a Motorhead show. So he comes outside, he walks me in. And we go downstairs. As soon as we go downstairs, he hands me a beer or whatever. I'm standing there. And then he's like, "Hey, listen, I'm going to send Lemmy over here to talk to you so that..." Oh, no, this is what happens first. As we walk in, Lemmy's like, to me, from across the room, hey, good to see you. Just to me, though. And I'm like, "Hey, Lemmy, what's up, man? What's good?" But I, you know what I mean? Lemmy doesn't know me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, "All right, whatever." I play it off. And then my friend comes over and he's like, "Hey, since Lemmy seems cool with you, we have all these people here for this meet and greet thing, but everyone's all awkward. We're going to send Lemmy over to talk to you. You guys bullshit for a few minutes, take a picture with him, and that'll kind of let everyone else know that they should take pictures with him."
Nice.
So I'm like, wow. Okay. Like, that to me is surreal. You know what I mean? So then Lemmy comes over and I told him a story. Lemmy's a big fan of the Cro-Mags, and John Joseph from the Cro-Mags is on episode 3 on the Kevin Gill show. But I told him a John Joseph story from like the week before, and we laughed it up, and I was like, "Man, that's pretty fucking surreal."
That is surreal. That's
wild,
pretty fucking damn cool, man. It's awesome. The people you meet in that kind of business are just all kinds of characters, all kinds of great people.
You know, getting to meet and know Greg the Hammer Valentine, sitting there on the set of Big Money Rustlers with Todd Bridges and just sitting there for hours talking to him and cracking jokes and talking about wrestling, or, you know, going to get sushi with Scott Hall. Like, these are things that are just like, what? Like, it's hard to believe that it ever happened, but you go to bed and then you wake up and then try to do something half as cool the next day.
Trust us, we know the feeling, man. We totally know the feeling.
Well, that's how we felt when we met you in the ICP
yeah.
at PWS. You're like, wow, this is a fucking big deal.
Yeah, it was like, awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool. It's also cool that Todd Bridges from Different Strokes is like a wrestling fan.
Well, he wrestled. He was on the Celebrity Wrestling Show.
The Hogan Show.
Yeah.
I thought he did pretty well.
He did really good, man. I think that if it wasn't for Dennis Rodman, if it was Rodman they gave it to, right?
Yeah.
That's just for his, so to speak, name value. You know what I mean? I think that pound for pound, dollar for dollar, And I believe Jimmy Hart even went on record as saying this. Yeah, baby. That Tom Bridges was the better wrestler.
He was. He was doing like a flip dive over the top rope. Like, he was really good, actually.
Well, he was trained, wasn't he?
And that, now you just reminded me of one more surreal but totally awesome I can't believe this happens moment. And this is pretty high on the list, is when we were filming the ICP movie, Big Money Rustlers, we're coming back from the set, and in the there's like a van bringing like waves of people or whatever. So it's me, my girl, and Jimmy Hart, and the runner are in the van. And Jimmy Hart's like, "Hey, Kevin, do you feel hungry right now?" And I'm like, "You know, yeah, kind of. How about this? It's been so nice talking with you on this ride. What do you say we all go out to dinner together? My treat." And then, as if that's not enough, because like I didn't answer yet, because like he's still almost talking. Then he's like, "We can talk about wrestling."
You sound like the old guy from Family Guy.
He sounds like Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo or
that,
whatever.
That too.
I was thinking Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, that too. It's all the same register. But yes. But he was so nice and so sincere and so thoughtful of him to do that and just to even put it on the table. So you're not, because, you know, if I just was going to have a sit down and have a grilled cheese with Jimmy Hart or whatever, I'm not going to be all like, "Remember that time that Matilda pulled your pants off?" You know what I mean? I'm just going to be like chilling. But when people put it out there, you know what I mean? That's extra cool, man.
That is
those,
cool.
Every memory that I just said is all based off the love, the brotherhood, and the love that exists between me and my brothers Joe and Joey, the Insane Clown Posse.
That was a great story.
That's awesome.
Well, Kevin, hopefully we have a brotherhood with you. It has been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us tonight. Just I want to get a couple plugs out there for Mr. Kevin Gill. Follow him on the Twitter machine at OG Kevin Gill, and follow him and his podcast at The Kevin Gill Show on Twitter. KevinGillShow.com is available on iTunes. Obviously, you can listen to it on KevinGillShow.com. Drake Younger, Andrew WK, Violent J, Rhino, Kevin Steen, Too Tough Tony, Lars from Rancid, all been guests. Just had Rikishi on and then Too Tough Tony. Great interviews. Definitely check those out. JuggaloGathering.com is the website. Gathering of the Juggalos.
Don't believe the bullshit rumors that are going out there either. A lot of fake news sites are reporting stuff about how all ticket holders are getting their background checks, and you're gonna have to, I don't know, get ID, like four forms of ID and all that bullshit, strip searches. Don't believe that bullshit either.
Yeah, in other words, the same morons who write up a fake celebrity died every day news article and here's the exclusive security footage of their corpse, those same people come up with this dumb shit.
Right.
Kevin, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. And if I could just say real quick on the way out, the one thing I didn't say about the podcast earlier on is that basically the Kevin Gill Show is your PMA power hour.
Yes.
And that's just positive mental attitude. You know what I mean? It's that at the end of the day, every one of the guests and the interviewer himself, everyone has to overcome obstacles. Everyone has to deal with bullshit in their fucking lives. And hearing the stories, hearing the struggles, hearing the successes and the failures of the guests, pro audio, yada, yada, yada. I just feel like it all comes together and people are saying, you know, whether it's they're listening at work or in the car or whatever while they're supposed to be in school, they love it. So I just invite everyone, if you hate ICP and hate Juggalos, that's fine. I think you can tell that I'm an articulate individual. I have a command of the language. I have captivating guests. And more importantly, I have the endorsement of the Shining Wizards podcast team.
Yes, you do.
Awesome, man.
Yes, you do, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
This was long
overdue. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Long overdue. Glad to finally have you on. And
Kevin, just hang on the line for a minute, folks. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Thanks a lot, Kev.
Rockstar Spud reminds me of dirty boogers. They just aggravate my soul. EC3 reminds me of dirty sheets. The more you read, the more you hate. You two dream of handicapping Willow. The dream quickly transforms into a nightmare. I rise victorious in Willow's way.
In your face.
What is a dirty burger?
Oh, it's a turd burger.
I thought he was going to say fur burger.
That was amazing.
That was Willow. Ugh.
Willow.
That was Kevin Gill that we just spoke to. So
not that.
That wasn't that, Kevin.
That wasn't Kevin Gill.
It could be Kevin Gill doing Willow.
Gillow!
Actually, his Jimmy Hart also sounded like Willow.
I don't want to talk about
Kevin, you want to go for a burger?
That was a great story, though.
Dirty burger.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You want to go for a turd burger, Kevin?
One more time, KevinGillShow.com is where you can find his podcast and all his information, his Twitter handle. So go support Kevin Gill.
Awesome,
tell him
dude.
You enjoyed his interview on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
That's yes. us.
As we continue on this crazy, wild Willow Hi. Adventure of a podcast.
Whimsy.
Turd burgers.
People are going to start hating us for all the Willow.
Yeah, we got it. We Willowed it up today.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. Fuck it. Willow.
Hello.
Ring of Honor.
Dildo.
Best in the world. Pay-per-view Sunday night.
Yes.
Yes.
For a company who needed it to go well, I think they were quite successful.
Willow!
There was a very interesting debate on the Facebook between the Shining Wizards.
Facebook!
Eddie hated the pay-per-view.
I didn't hate the pay-per-view.
Hated it.
He said every match was the same.
Every match was the same.
Punchy, kicky, flippy.
No, they weren't.
That's where the opinions of the Shining Wizards.
Every match
different.
Had a dive or two. Every match had about 13 insiguris.
And I'll give you the insiguris.
And
every
I'll give
match, you the insiguris.
Every match had some kind of move that was either going to be a suplex or a powerbomb or something that dropped onto a knee. Every match had that.
That doesn't make every match the same, though.
Yes, and every match had the same
That's like saying every
shit.
Match has a headlock.
No, but these are like modified special moves that should knock a guy out.
See,
like
I, a power, I don't you, think... I didn't get that vibe watching the show.
If you powerbomb someone onto your knees, they're done.
I disagree.
Too many dives, too many insecurities. But you know what? I watched it twice.
Deuces.
I was more familiar with a lot of the guys the second time around.
Well, because you already watched them once.
Well, duh, that's why I fucking said it.
Duh.
Who's so stupid, Tony?
Duh.
And I didn't hate it the second time around, actually, at all. I actually enjoyed it. I was paying more attention to the matches, actually told stories. Things I'm not impressed by. It looked like I was watching Smoky Mountain from 1993.
All right.
Okay.
Gotcha.
They... Mm-hmm. They really have to fucking do something about that shit, dude. Seriously.
Okay.
When an indie fed like Pro Wrestling Syndicate has a better setup.
Let's see.
Wait,
look,
Pro Wrestling Syndicate?
I love Pro Wrestling Syndicate.
They were trying to get to 1993. I thought that's what Pat Buckhead told
well,
us.
Well, no, their stage. I mean, come on. Like, they had a big
the stage
screen.
Stage is good.
They had a big screen at Ring of Honor. Not
Screen's
one not
good.
One entrance video for anybody.
The headliners, Elgin and
Cole.
Adam Cole had them. That was it. We
that's,
talked about that. When me and Matt watched the show yesterday, and we did notice that. We did bring that up.
So
but
there was
I,
that.
But
let
I
me
think...
just let me just get over, and then you can
no,
chime
ahead.
In. There was that. So I think the production's shitty, but I also think Sinclair Broadcasting should fucking shoot them a little bit more money to put into it, but that's I don't know where the fucking money
well,
is.
I think in a situation where I think their biggest concern was just getting it out there without any issues,
and there were none.
And
right?
there were none.
Well, that's a huge step.
If
for
it's
them.
Successful for them, then they definitely I agree with Eddie. They need to put a little more money into the production.
Yeah.
Because when you see their regular shows, they do kind of have they don't have a TitanTron like a PWS or a even Impact. Does Impact have a Tron?
Yeah, they got
they have a Tron. So, yes, they could definitely put more into the production. But overall, I mean, they needed a good card, and I think it lived up to it. Steve Corino commentating the Matt Hardy match may have been the funniest.
It was the best
fucking
part. That was my favorite part of the whole show.
Instead of saying, oh, my God, he would say, oh, my Matt Hardy.
Oh, my 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 Hardy. That was
Matt Hardy,
sick.
Matt Hardy invented pay-per-view.
That was a sick ladder bump.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I mean.
Oh, the suplex, the vertical suplex?
The suplex
yeah.
to
Wait,
the
does Matt Hardy still do the Matt Facts?
No.
Oh, okay.
But Carino puts Matt Hardy over like he's God, and it's hysterical. And this is the first Ring of Honor product I've watched, and I'll say 5 years. So I loved the show. I thought from top to bottom.
Do you think these guys really kind of need to work on some personality, though?
I'll tell you this. I thought that
Bobby Fish and his partner
Kyle O'Reilly.
They had a cool backstage segment.
That was my favorite.
Yeah,
that was one of my favorite backstage things that
but
they did
the other...
was because it was so funny. They have Bobby. Like, they have to do like the SpongeBob
SpongeBob thing where you have Bobby Fish and then the porthole opens and it's fucking Kyle O'Reilly's face. And then I thought that was hysterical. Yeah,
really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. But a majority of the guys, like when they were cutting their promos backstage,
it was rough.
It seemed like we did when we were taping our like basement wrestling.
You think that fucking Exodus guy is crazy?
I'm the craziest motherfucker.
Listen, I'm not saying the show was perfect. I think the weak points were the production, but if that's their biggest problem,
well, that's not their biggest problem.
What's the biggest problem?
These wrestlers who are all talented have no characters. They have nothing. Like, they can't really talk. Kevin Steen's promo in that ring, you cannot tell me that was a good promo.
We've talked about it before. Kevin Steen is not really good with a mic.
I give him the benefit of the doubt because he's Canadian.
Than the word flub, I thought maybe one word flub, I thought it was fine because it seemed real to me.
Yeah, but don't you remember when he won the ROH title,
I do.
How horrid his fucking promo was?
And if he's going to call himself Mr. Wrestling, have the fucking baby first. Get into fucking shape. You know, I mean, he has heart attack stomach. He's not just like big, like a Bam Bam Bigelow big. He's like, skinny fat.
He does have Prego stomach. He's got like worse than Jim the Anvil Neidhart stomach.
Sure,
and that's bad.
They're going to take care of that in developmental.
Well, they couldn't do it for Chris Hero.
Dude, look at you tell me Bo Dallas is in shape right now?
Oh, Bo Dallas is jiggly.
With his jiggly pecs and everything?
Doesn't matter.
That's Chris Hero, but shorter.
Yeah, but
it's so harsh.
Bo Dallas has the fucking charisma that Chris Hero probably didn't.
Hate Bo leaving, he is putting some effort into it.
I thought Chris Hero has plenty of charisma.
Really?
Hero, I think.
And what? Where have you seen him a lot?
We've seen him a bunch at Dragon Gate.
At Dragon Gate, at Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I thought he just has a natural charisma about him.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you get Bo Dallas out there. They put him out there because he probably has a lot more charisma than Chris Hero.
Probably.
Plus, he's brothers with Bray Wyatt.
And the son of
IRS.
But anyway,
of Barry Windham.
We don't want to spend too much more time on Ring of Honor, but I do want, because it was the first show that I watched, and I was excited to watch it. I went up to Matt's. And I had to get my head back into the product of.
They put on, what was it, International Coffee?
If you're going to make a joke, get there.
It was International Coffee and a Java log on the fire, cuddling under a blanket with some wine and cheese.
Maybe
turning
we were.
On the Ring of Honor pay per view.
Maybe we were.
You almost made it through a whole episode without a bomb.
No, because
I forgot that it was called International Coffees. That would have made it funny.
Yikes.
I couldn't get it out.
You could have just said coffee.
No, International Coffee's fun. It's like the two women talking about Pierre from France.
Jesus.
See, Eddie's in. Fuck it. I knew I would get there.
And I'm getting there right now. You guys can continue with whatever the fuck you're talking about. Fucking Bumpamania, whatever the fuck it was.
It wasn't Bumpamania. Other than the six-way match in the first match, I thought every match was different. And every dive that was done, that you said was done, I think it served a purpose in the match.
What about whatever what's-his-face screams every time there's a dive? Didn't you just want to choke him?
Crash and burn?
Crash and burn!
Steve Corino?
Crash and burn!
I'll take Corino and
fuck
Kelly
your mother!
Over fucking Cole and JBL and Tanay and Taz any day.
I would, too.
Tanay and Taz is pretty much the DS's.
They're
fucking oh, yeah.
Awful.
Oh, JBL is actually
but
the
let's go.
DS's.
Now, JBL...
Hold on. There's a new Ring of Honor heavyweight champion.
Michael Elgin won.
And it was the match they needed to have. It wasn't fucking super rushed. It wasn't a ton of high spots. There was a story. It was the exact main event that Ring of Honor needed to have.
Faggot.
Oh, God, it's getting ugly
I heard it.
In here.
I heard
easy,
it.
Easy, kids. Easy, easy. Jeez, Louise.
Matthew. Back to your corners, gentlemen.
Bobby Fish, who was a guest last week, him and O'Reilly against Daniels and Kaz pretty much stole the show.
O'Reilly?
And the crowd didn't give a fuck.
That's bad. Are you serious?
I feel like we watched
a different show.
That
or
crowd
you watched
was
it with the volume
dead.
Off.
The crowd was dead for the tag match.
There were chants every
no,
5 minutes
even
for that
the,
match.
Even the commentators made note of the crowd being dead. Oh, I guess the last segment really took the win out
no,
of sales.
No, the crowd was dead during the Steen-Silas match.
No, the crowd was dead during the tag match, dude. Rewatch that shit. Anyone yeah. that watched this
rewatch that shit.
The whole
that,
time I watched it twice, that, I kept saying
everything,
to Kevin,
the crowd was good until the tag match.
I don't think
the only time
this.
They weren't, no, nope, maybe they were the dead. Beginning of the match, maybe when they were just building
the first 30 minutes of
hey,
it.
Here's a dumb question. I saw a picture of Matt Hardy with his face on the Briscoe belt. Yes, yeah. What's the, is that
the iconic champion?
Yeah, so is that what he is now?
No.
What happened there? He stole the belt a la Jake the
No,
Snake
he won the
Adam
Cole won the belt. And when he came back and they had the, I guess, not the unification, but the Jay Briscoe thought he was the champ, so he had a belt. And then Adam Cole won the actual championship.
Yeah, but then how did Matt Hardy wind up with the camouflage?
Because Adam Cole gave it to him.
Is in cahoots with Matt Hardy and Michael Bennett.
So is Matt Hardy like a legit champion now? Is this
no.
Like,
no, no, not at
this
all.
This isn't like an FTW belt?
It's from everyone at work.
That's terrible.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, it was awful. Terrible audio quality.
I'm gonna have to cut
better than
that
Ring
one.
Of Honor talk.
That was horrible, dude. We gotta find a better one.
I disagree. I'm sorry.
I disagree.
I thought the Roderick Strong Cedric Alexander match was incredible.
Overall, Ring of Honor did a great job, and it was exactly what they needed. And hopefully, this leads to more pay per views for them, because. The wrestling world needs some more successful wrestling companies.
Yeah, that don't have six-sided rings.
Or
please.
Have three
Wait, we can't, that's not successful, though.
Or have three-hour shows on Raw.
Touche. Touche.
Well said.
Thoughts on the Monday Night Raw?
I thought it was kind of cool that Stephanie took a mud bath. Is Vicky really fired?
Like, yeah, she was going to leave like months ago, but they wanted to do like an angle to write her off.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she was coming back in like short little guest spots,
like spurts and shit.
It's kind of cool that Stephanie, you know, took one for the team. You know what I'm saying?
Who cares?
Give Vicky something nice to go out on, and she did the little fucking Viva La Raza shake and shit.
I gotta watch that.
I think it was kind of like a nice send off for
Stephanie.
Her. That's really.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't see it?
I turned Raw off after the Dolph Barrett match because I didn't think anything could follow that.
Nothing did.
So I didn't miss
nothing
anything,
did. No,
is
nothing
what you're
did.
Telling me.
I saw, Alicia Fox wrestled one of the Funkadactyls and lost.
And
I
lost
saw that.
And didn't have a freak out. Like, they dropped
and,
it already.
Yeah, and Jerry the King Pervert was checking out Paige's ass.
That just makes him a man.
That fucking match got more time than the singles matches between the Usos and Harper and Rowan.
Yeah, that did
fucking
nothing.
Gross.
That did nothing.
Nobody
that's
said
where did nothing.
Uso Crazy came from those matches.
Which
yes.
means they're retaining the tag belts.
Okay.
Now they have
so.
A
right.
fucking, yeah, they have a catchphrase that's going to go on a shirt.
Okay, here you go.
Wait, that's real?
That's real.
That's just, not
yeah,
just us
happened.
Fucking around?
No, that,
no, that is real.
No, we made that up.
No. No, we're not that bad.
Ah.
Uso
no,
Crazy.
No, we are, but I thought we made it up.
Uso Crazy is something Michael Cole was pushing.
That sounds good, Adam Lee. Like Jamaican Me Crazy with
yes.
Kofi.
Yeah, but that's not a wizardly like a Tonga Bunga.
A wizardly.
Nice.
An Adam Lee and a wizardly.
The one thing I did like, and I'm not changing my tune yet on the Wyatt family, but when they came out to the whole world in his hands, the two of them, extra creepy, I was kind of digging it.
Did the crowd sing along?
No,
I was watching with
they
no volume.
Kind of sung a little bit, but they dimmed everything, and those two idiots just walked out on the stage and just
by
had
themselves?
The blank stare. Yep.
Yeah. Is that like the first time that they came out by themselves?
Yeah.
Yes. And here, like,
that's a moment for them.
Further point, for some reason they felt another need to do a 4-on-3, the bad guys and the good guys for the you know
right.
for the ladder match. They should Bray Wyatt should just fucking walked out on that shit.
Yeah, why be
he
in that?
He should have. Like, why would he? That's like
the
that's
Bad
like,
News Brown.
No, it's worse than Bad News Brown though. Like, he should have just fucking like not even came out.
Yeah.
Like,
and then
why?
It
like,
cut a promo backstage. Match. Cut a promo backstage explaining and put it on the Tron while all the guys are in the ring explaining why. Hey, I'm not help. What purpose do I have being in this match? Or
exactly.
Or
something,
something
like
to,
that.
With his creepy affect.
Well, you know what the
only,
thing is.
Go ahead.
I think they have no direction for him now.
Well, I think
it's the typical after Cena post Cena feud lull.
Or he could be playing off his partners, so this way it's not a 6-on-1 situation where he's guaranteed not to win the ladder match. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Bad News Brown was, like, the lone guy in that match, everybody would gang up on him because he's out for himself.
That's too much thinking, though. There's no thought. There was
true.
No thought. They don't have direction for Wade Barrett right
but
now.
But honestly, the
Wade
two...
Barrett.
I mean, well, that's
Bray
another
Wyatt.
One they
the
don't
two...
have direction
I've
for.
I've got some bad news
for Bray Wyatt.
For
the,
Bray Wyatt.
The two creepy guys coming out with, like, the whole world, and it's like, it sounds so bad. It's like a Casio keyboard simulating
like
an organ.
An SK-1.
And the notes, they
a
even make mistakes. They make mistakes on it, too. Like, you can hear them, like,
It's like me playing rock band.
Was this the go home?
No,
role?
But you would hear motherfucker and a piano getting thrown.
Definitely.
You know what sucks though, and this whole
the rest of Raw.
Besides that, the Uso. No, there are actually some high points. Raw, get into it. The Uso crazy thing.
I like the Usos, man.
But you know that's going on a shirt, and you know the Wyatts probably aren't going to win the belts. It's going to be some kind of DQ shit.
Well, we can do Money in the Bank predictions, can't we? Because it's a go home.
John Cena, Seth Rollins.
I don't know.
I didn't mean right now.
I think maybe Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose.
No.
Are those the only two matches other than a tag match on the show right now?
No, Paige is fighting the Funka.
So those are the only two matches right now other than...
I think the Funkadactyl won the title match, right?
She did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Fox is back into obscurity. No, you're right. Dean Ambrose, John Cena, Dean Ambrose.
I was thinking Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. That would be a hell of a blow-off.
It's too soon for Roman Reigns.
Well, they're in the same match. How could they win?
No, they're not.
Dean Ambrose is in the Money in the Bank
second one. You said Roman Reigns, John Cena.
No, I said Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose.
He said
John Cena, Dean Ambrose, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Which makes sense.
That makes sense, too.
I'm going to go Kofi Kingston and Kane.
The second match is
Kofi. Kane's in the title match?
No.
Yes, he is.
What, the title match? I thought we were talking about second match. Second match, Kofi, RVD, Dolph, Seth, Dean, Barrett, Swagger.
The only two viable outcomes are Ambrose
and Rollins.
That's it. Everyone else is a jobber.
And unless they shock us and have Ambrose take Ambrose and Rollins out of the match fighting and Barrett gets it.
But he already has a belt.
Yeah, but he can lose that. They could just throw it away, and no one would notice.
And
no one would miss it.
I don't want this anymore.
This belt looks like a briefcase now.
Here you go. You can have it, small child.
They can do an angle where he visits with the queen and presents it to her.
And serves tea and cucumber sandwiches out of the briefcase.
Thank you so much.
All right, Matt, who do you think are going to win both these briefcase matches?
I think the one briefcase match, the one title match.
I don't think Cena wins, man.
I don't think Cena wins either.
He's going into SummerSlam against Brock Lesnar.
Summerfest.
You don't think they'd do Cesaro?
Nope.
Ooh, the King of Swings.
Cesaro is done.
So let's go. Matt.
I'll go Cesaro and I'll go Rollins.
You think Lesnar comes out and helps Cesaro win?
No.
How badass would that be? He starts putting people through the friggin' railings and ringside.
I'm surprised Brock Lesnar's not even in this match.
This Money in the Bank just looks terrible, though.
You know
I don't
why?
Know, man. I think it could be a sleeper.
No, they have.
There's only two things announced for it on the website.
No. The Money in the Bank for the title, just the guys in it and the idea of Money in the Bank, like the second one with Kofi and RVD, like you know you're going to get those high spots. Like
this one's the shit.
Well, is Kane going to fucking do a leg drop off the second rung?
But Kane has been surprising in these Money in the Bank matches.
Dude, we talked about this last time. I think last week we talked about it. If it wasn't on the air, it was off the air. When the Money in the Bank matches used to mean something to new stars.
Yes.
And now
that was the point.
And now it's nothing. Everyone, I think, that's in these Money in the Bank matches have been, other than maybe Rollins and Ambrose and Reigns and Wyatt, have been in a Money in the Bank match before and have been world champion before.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I understand whatever the one for the championship, it's for the championship now, so you're not going to have fucking Justin Gabriel and fucking Heath Slater in it.
Justin Gabriel. I get that.
They should.
But the briefcase one, RVD, Kofi Kingston.
I get
Kofi
what you mean.
Kingston?
I think I with the championship on the line, it was a mistake to have another Money in the Bank match. I think you have one match, seven guys, or make it 10 guys. Winner takes all.
I agree with you, but the thing is, though, this creates a storyline that can go for like
Understood.
Months after.
Yeah, I get that, but
unless
like
they
you
shotgun,
said,
unless they shotgun it,
it's jobber mania in that match.
And none of those guys have direction.
No.
Ambrose, I think, is the best thing that they've
Ambrose
been doing.
Ambrose is probably
yes.
him or Rollins.
Better
it's
than
gotta
Rollins.
Be.
I think Ambrose has been produced
you
better
know
than Rollins.
What Ambrose is doing reminds me of when they brought Owen Hart back and he would just
Blackheart.
Yes.
And I agree.
That went nowhere.
Honestly,
because Ambrose is going to go to TNA and join Bobby Lashley, MVP, and Kenny King in the Nation of Domination 2014.
Nailed
Brotherhood.
Because that's what's going to happen. That's what Owen Hart did in, whatever, 99.
Yes.
We are the nation.
But can Dean Ambrose fly?
Oh, well, could Owen Hart fly?
I mean, if that turnbuckle didn't get in the way, sure.
Oh my God!
You think if he was 2 feet more into the middle of the ring, he would have had a chance if he pancaked?
No. Absolutely. If he pancaked, yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think what killed him was hitting his head on that turnbuckle.
His neck. It was like the neck. Yeah. His neck snapped on
the post. If he flat pancake bumped in the middle of that ring, I think he would have survived.
There was actually somebody's account was that he tried to get up.
Jerry Lawler said that he tried to sit up after he hit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Why are you bringing the show down, Eddie?
No, well, we were making terrible, terrible, morbid jokes that I regret doing now.
But, yeah, way to go.
But because Owen Hart's my favorite of all time. But all right, so I'll go with my predictions for Money in the Bank. Championship match. I'm going Bray Wyatt. I think Bray Wyatt wins it. I think they give it to him.
See, that's the thing about that title match. I could see any one of those.
I think
guys
Cena is the smart choice, and they probably will put it on Cena. But yeah. I guess my inner fan is telling me put it on Bray Wyatt.
I'm thinking they go Reigns.
I don't want Reigns to have it yet.
I'm thinking they're going Reigns.
They're not going with Reigns. Let me tell you something, brother. Cards booked in the future for Japan, WWE when they're going to Japan and.
Whee!
House shows coming up, the house show
circuit.
Go
Japan now. House. Who's beeping?
It's probably my Facebook. It's actually going to be Bray Wyatt feuding with Sheamus for the U.S. title. Those are the matches on the house show circuit.
Maybe it's title for title on the U.S. on the circuit.
It's not.
Who else is on the card? Are they doing two tours?
It's mostly like tag team main events with like Cena and someone against someone and someone, but
I wouldn't read too much in the Japanese tours, man. Because if
it's also like the Northeast and it's all over the place.
Japan?
No, no, Northeast here. I mean, like when they go to Japan, they're doing it, and they're also doing it here, like Clifton. Okay. Yeah, Dingbats. Yeah, they're gonna snub us too, like Jericho.
Mr. Cena.
Yeah, Jericho.
I come talk to you.
I'm gonna go with Rollins wins the other one.
Hmm.
Even though I like Ambrose, I want Ambrose to win.
I'm thinking it's Ambrose and Luther Reigns.
You know, I think Ambrose and Rollins kind of fight to the back, and
someone else sneaks up and grabs it. I don't think it's Ziggler, but Barrett.
It should be Ziggler.
It should be Barrett.
Oh, enough of Ziggler already. I bet you Alberto Del Rio wins the title.
Fuck you.
God, that'd be a fucking nightmare.
Oh, I bet you he does.
That'd be awesome. Like Ricardo comes out of fucking mothballs and helps him win it.
Oh, my God. Oh, so what the fuck is up with what's-his-face, the guy that keeps wrestling as an asshole every week?
Damian Sandow? What did he do this week?
Abraham Lincoln.
He was Abraham Lincoln, and he lost in like 3 minutes. Not even, like a minute.
Who do you fight? Or who do you fake fight?
Jim Neidhart?
Get it? Big E, another one that got no reaction. And this was my gripe. Why would Big E be mad at Abraham Lincoln? Because if it wasn't for Lincoln, Big E wouldn't be wrestling.
Right, and Big E...
He'd be fucking washing my shit.
Big E is sticking up for the U.S. against Rusev. And so why would he want to beat up Abraham Lincoln?
Exactly. You team with
Stupid.
Abraham Lincoln.
Keep it up. I'm a nigga.
Right? Definitely. Why not? Fucking D.C.?
Fucking in your face.
Million Man March? Come on.
Big E and his peanut head. His fucking Beetlejuice shrunken head. No.
Did you enjoy...
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Are we going back to Progeria?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, man.
No Progeria.
Little honey mustard head. He's all lick honey mustard off his little hairless head.
Oh. You know what I felt bad about?
Progeria children.
We put aside them.
Can't do the same bit twice.
We had Zach Gowen and
Gregory Iron
on the
Legends.
Yes, the Legends show. Thank you. And the very next episode was us making fun of him at Crossroads.
Making fun of who?
Making fun of Gregory Iron.
We were making fun of him. We were just talking about his handicap.
Somebody said they gave him Bell's palsy. Like Jim Ross just handed it to him.
That was me. That was me. Yeah, that's
right.
I think that was me. I don't know. I haven't listened to that show. I'm pretty sure it was
funny,
me,
though.
So, Bo Dallas, awesome.
Awesome.
Love it.
Great.
He's 9 and Bo. Shut up, dude.
Yeah, oh, he drops the mic and goes, ooh, I'm Butterfingers. I popped so hard when
I
heard
that.
Did
he say
that? He's like, ooh, I'm Butterfingers, and the crowd loved it.
He's fantastic.
He beats his opponent and then picks him up and goes, it's okay, you did it. Great job. And then it's phenomenal. It's getting over.
I'm not believing it. I probably will, but
you will.
I'm not believing
it. This is something that will stick if they don't fuck it up.
Oh, it's more like boo leave.
Can I just say something? Fucking Phil Ditto got all like fucking ignorant on fucking Dean Ambrose in a guinea tee and jeans. He was like, oh, real original. Are you fucking kidding me?
About what? Why did he care?
I don't know. It's
why
fucking
do you
retarded.
Care that he cared?
Because you're fucking nitpicking at that point. You're just complaining to complain.
All the things that people complain about, and you're hammering Phil Dido for this?
Because he's like, oh, Jimmy Wang Yang did that first. That. It's not.
Jimmy Wang Yang, and I don't care.
It's like fucking Dusty Rhodes did it. Anyone in a fucking Texas deathmatch did it.
Jimmy Wang Yang, and I don't care.
Fucking dumb. You're just Jesus. A goddamn dummy, Phil Ditto.
Really?
Yeah.
Why Phil Ditto tonight?
Because he's a fucking dummy.
Wow.
Fucking nitpick.
Jimmy
fucking
Wang, yeah.
Asshole.
I don't care.
Hey, hey.
I had fun with Phil Ditto.
I miss him.
Did you enjoy the RVD Rollins back and forth?
Yes.
I was excited.
I thought that was the best Rob Van Dam sounded on the mic and looked in the ring since he's come back.
Yeah, he did look good.
And he sold the shit out of that curb stomp.
Yeah,
that curb stomp is very
good.
Impressive.
It is. It really is. I think Ed Norton does it better, though.
Oof.
Don't worry. When Rollins hits it on Big E, it'll be...
Can you play that? Can you... Jesus.
Jesus. And then...
I don't believe it.
And then, like I said, Dolph and Barrett had a fucking awesome match.
For the 100th time this month.
And I turned Raw off after that, so I
didn't
can't...
Kofi wrestle somebody?
I can't help you after that.
Oh, yeah. Who did he fucking lose to? Who did Kofi lose to?
I watched.
SOS.
Oh, I watched. Hold on, let me look, because I turned it off.
Oh, God, I don't remember.
Who cares?
The Miz?
It was two people I didn't
give
a
shit about. Was it
The Miz? No, Miz wasn't back on
was
TV,
it
was
some,
it?
Oh, it was somebody from the fucking qualifying match.
Swagger? No.
Whoa.
It might have been Swagger.
Yeah, I think it was.
Was Swagger.
Swagger. Yeah, it was. Because you're like, Kofi Kingston is a veteran of these matches.
Excuse me.
God damn it, you
Stop.
Animals.
Yeah, it was gross. It was
gross.
Swagger.
Swagger. I see what you did there.
What was? How'd the main event go down? The 4-on-3 handicap.
Don't
bullshit.
Know.
Half paid attention. Seemed paint by numbers, and Sheamus pinned Cesaro because no one gives a fuck about Cesaro.
I couldn't watch it because I was thinking about Dean Ambrose and his guinea tea.
Was there anything after any like melee brawl?
Kane was introduced as
the last guy.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, so there's 8 guys in that match now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8 is enough.
Oof.
Yeah, so that happened.
So
you know,
what's the rest of the card going to be like?
Who cares? You know why? They don't. We talked about this weeks ago. They have our money, so you're going to start seeing the pay-per-view quality really start to dwindle. Because we've already basically paid for it.
I don't know, though, because the pay-per-views haven't been terrible. They've been actually very enjoyable the past couple of months.
No, they've been good, but I'm just wondering what they're going to put on.
It doesn't matter. Now they don't have to sell it to us.
Yeah, but they still have to sell it to people that are willing to pay $60 for it.
And the people that want to go there live.
There's only 600,000 of us, allegedly, around the country that are buying the network.
Well, you have the Usos against Harper and Rowan.
And Daniel Bryan is coming back.
Daniel Bryan's going to do the thing.
The pre-show.
He's doing the pre-show, but he's only doing an interview. That's not harmless.
Paige Naomi.
Somebody call my mama.
And then the two ladder matches, and then they'll probably throw in, like, maybe Hornswoggle.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't even know who's left has a Stardust against Rybacksel.
Oh, there you go.
Again.
They had a match, right?
Yeah, they beat him in like a minute.
They beat Rybacksel?
Last night?
No, last week.
Oh, yeah.
The Dust Brothers, yeah, and Rybacksel.
Did they do a match last night? Stardust?
No. Stardust just came in and sang a song and walked away.
You know what
they didn't have a match? Are we sure they didn't have a
match? No, they didn't have a match. They didn't.
He sang something about stars.
Give it time, dude. Stardust is going to get over.
You'll get Rusev and Big E.
Oh,
again?
Yeah.
So they could practice
it'll
who waves
flag
the
match,
flag more shitty?
It'll be a flag match, so it'll draw our interest.
Whose interest?
Exactly.
Another flag match.
What do you mean? We haven't had a flag match in a while.
They had their flag-waving contest a couple of weeks ago.
Flag-waving contest. This is WWE creative. They're stepping up a notch.
Anything with flags.
What constitutes the rules of a flag-waving
contest? The Constitution!
Oh, didn't Fandango get caught kissing somebody?
Santa Claus.
Fuck.
Wait, Santa Claus? Oh, brother.
What the... Really? Fandango got caught kissing somebody?
Who cares?
What the fuck?
Their mid-card is so... fucked.
It's not even a mid-card. Calling it a mid-card is actually...
It's just like...
Too big of a compliment. Yeah.
It's...
It's so bad.
It's like you take a bag of your wrestling action figures and just dump them on your bed and go, wrestling.
Yeah. It's like when you do your like your random Royal Rumble draws and just pick
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, you do exactly just, what I used
and you're
to
like,
do.
You pick one blind and you're like,
yes.
Oh,
fucking
recon from the Truth Commission. He's number one.
That's how they book Raw.
That's not going to draw a pop.
Oh, well.
Recon from the Truth Commission.
Let's just go with it.
I stole the Truth Commission from the KB at the mall.
That's awesome.
Because I was like, I have to have them.
I have them. I have both of them.
I have them, too. But
you stole Recon, but you cursed your parents for buying you Terry Funk?
Look, first of all, it wasn't Recon, right? It was Recon.
Was it Sniper?
Sniper.
No, it was Kurgan.
No,
Kurgan.
Recon, Kurgan, and the Jackal, I believe, was in there.
Cyrus.
Not Sniper pack, didn't even get pack, a fucking though. Character.
They were all... I had Recon, it was Recon or Sniper and Kurgan. Didn't we talk about this enough with Kurt Hawkins last week?
The cool thing is, me stealing the Truth Commission.
Like back then, they had a Truth Commission. Like everyone had something to do.
Dude, that was a.
You know? Yeah. Everyone has something to do. You look now, they have no idea what they're doing with Bray Wyatt now. They have no idea. I mean, Cena beat him one on one. 3-on-1 in every which way, 100 times to the
and
moon.
Didn't they just, was SmackDown, didn't they just have him beat him again? Or was that a dark match?
I think it was at a house show. Oh, he beats him every night at the dark match.
On SmackDown, I think he beat him too.
Oh, every night he beats him in the dark
beat
match.
Beat motherfuckers like I beat
it's
Tina.
Like, they have nothing for him. He's going to feud with Sheamus, and no one's going to give a shit.
Fella.
And that's just how it's going to be. Fella. Because all roads lead to Cena versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
You know, you know what? Daniel Bryan threw a huge monkey wrench into this situation. Because I think
he's white.
Okay.
What?
Actually, Friday on SmackDown, Sheamus versus Bray Wyatt.
A boo.
I'm just on the page
there
on SmackDown right now. This
all
right,
Friday. See? I called it. Right
but
there.
Wait, Sheamus and Bray Wyatt, and there's probably going to be like a couple of other singles matches of idiots in that final one against each other.
But Sheamus and Bray Wyatt are going to be the two that are working together.
But when Daniel Bryan got hurt, that I think really killed a lot of stuff because I thought he was going to have the belt till SummerSlam, and I really thought we were going to get Brock Lesnar, Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam.
No, because Cena was probably going to be slated to win the Money in the Bank anyway, cash in on Bryan.
Again?
Get his win back.
Didn't he win it? Who won it last year?
Cena. He was going to win it again, cash in on Bryan. Get his win back. Yeah, didn't Cena win it last year?
No, didn't Bryan win it? And then Sandow won it? Was that last year? Holy shit.
Did they have two? When did Cena win it? 2 years
Maybe
ago?
Maybe you're right. No, I think you're right.
No, Cena was 2 years ago.
And he tried to cash it in and he didn't win. He tried to cash in on Punk, right?
Yeah, and
he was like
won by
ago.
DQ.
Yeah, it must have been 2 years
on,
ago.
I got it right here. 2000.
2000.
2000. 2000.
Randy Orton won it.
Yeah, what a waste.
No, because he cashed in on Bryan after Bryan beat Cena at SummerSlam, and that's when the Authority...
fucked him over.
Oh, yeah.
Sandow cashed. He won the World Heavyweight Championship,
but lost,
and then lost to Cena on Raw.
Oh, he
in
had
an awesome match.
He had the chucky,
chucky ducky quack quack,
the chocolate cookie case. I guess we can call
Oh yeah, the Hershey case.
Yeah, we can call it the chucky case. He had the chucky case.
It was like a chocolate Lego.
Yeah. Chego.
Chego.
He had the Chego case. That was
you eat
shit.
Chego, drink Fago, and see the ICP.
I'm telling you, man, everything leads back to Cena because he's the only guy that actually draws.
Cena's a dildo.
Listen, I would not be shocked if Cena wins on Sunday. Yeah. I really don't. He's going to win, isn't he?
Absolutely.
I'm surprised they don't have Sheena.
Sheena.
She-Ra and He-Man.
Sheena Shashushi.
Cena-shaped dildos yet.
Ask Kathy Hummer, they probably do.
Jesus! Oh, God, I'm going to fucking throw up my empty stomach. What else do we have going on?
Raw got a 2.8.
In your face!
Do people even read into the ratings anymore?
It's kind of like...
Unless it's TNA, and then we laugh when it's a 0.88.
TNA got like a 1.35 last week.
That's awesome for them.
And you know what? Here's the thing, man. WWE's been around for like a long time. They're getting 2.8s. TNA, 12, 13 years, 1.3.
That's not a bad rating.
It's not a bad rating.
It's a good rating when it comes to TV. We're just all wrestling marks, so that's how we paint.
It's really not. They're really not that far apart.
It's just that when TNA dips like 0.2 or 0.3.
Ooh, sorry.
It's a bigger percentage than when Raw dips 0.2 or 0.3,
right.
You know? So everybody sees like, holy shit, they're down 40%. Yeah, you know they only lost like fucking 0.3% of the rating.
You know why also? Because it's taped.
Yeah.
You know, people read the spoilers and they see.
Yeah,
like,
people forget how bad Raw used to be when it was 1 week on, 3 weeks off.
Oh, Raw used to be terrible.
Dude, I watched watching Raw Flashback on the network. It's brutal.
Oh, God. I've said this on Facebook a lot. If it wasn't for Eric Bischoff,
Wow, it's been a while.
We just hit a delay.
We kind of, yeah, it's going to take a minute. Ugh.
Here comes.
Hi, everybody. It's Tickles.
Hi, Tickles. How are you?
I'm fancy and whimsy.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to talk about Valkyrie? Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Guys, help me out. Valkyrie? Balky? What? What the fuck am I talking about?
Cousin Larry, hello.
What, Matt? What's it called? Valky?
It's called Valkyrie.
Valkyrie, it's a women's wrestling league, takes place in Brooklyn, New York, and it's on July 19th.
Brooklyn, yeah, kid.
Is Brooklyn in the house?
Think
Brooklyn
so.
Is in the house. They have an international, I guess it's Joshi or Joshi Grand Prix.
Yoshi.
She's going to be there. The winner was Sonny Siaki.
Sammy?
Sonny Siaki, right?
Yeah, sure.
Or Sonny Saki.
Sock it to me.
Sock it to me, buddy.
I can't do this.
What else?
Hey, everybody wants a fuck. Come on, I want a fucker in the butt.
Come on, that was hilarious.
That was getting really good.
We're leaving it.
No, don't leave
it.
Come on.
Leave it.
Come
it's
on,
not even it. Done. No. Just save it for. Save it.
All right, now it's going to take 5 minutes.
Hi, everybody. Tickles here. How's everybody doing tonight?
Fantastic.
Great.
Guess
great.
What, everybody? I just got a news flash. There's a women's wrestling league, and I think you guys should check it out because it might be your kind of thing.
Why do you always get
the flashes?
I don't get hot flashes, you son of a bitch.
No, I mean the women.
Oh, they probably get lots of hot flashes when they get their periods. Girls get periods and bleed from their vaginas, and it's disgusting. That's
like
why I'm a man.
Raspberry strudel.
That's why I don't like women. So anyway, on May 24th, this promotion's called Valky, right? Valky, like
no.
From Perfect Stranger.
May 24th? What the fuck?
Overweight Larry, you're killing the bitch. Shut the fuck up.
You said May 24th, stupid.
You did say May 24th.
Yeah, so eat a dick.
Unless we have a DeLorean.
Going back in time.
It's called Tickles Valkyrie.
Valkyrie. Well, anyway, as I was saying, on May 24th, Valkyrie Women's Professional Wrestling rose
again,
from
Dick.
The underground.
Oh,
so on July 19th at the Ludus Wrestling Center, you will see us continue our ascent. Do you like how I said that?
You said ass.
I sure did.
Very
let me
sexy.
Run down the card for you boys. The first time ever, Kimber Bombs collide. Kimberly versus Cherry Bomb, and you all know how much Tickles loves Cherry Bombs.
I bet. Yeah. Gross. Yeah.
First time ever. Now, Tickles hasn't had a lot of first time evers left, but we have Mano e Mano. La Absorb My Period Blood La Rosa Negra versus Ejaculation Jorge Estrada in the Secretary of Personal Data Debbie versus Neveja. Did I get that right?
No. Not
yes.
At all. I have two questions for you.
First, hey, Tickles.
Isn't mano a mano like man versus man?
No, it's hand to hand.
Okay. Secondly, La Rosa Negra is with the Ejaculator.
Oh, okay.
She's taking on Neveja.
What?
Yes, Neveja.
Neveja.
From
Tickles.
Ohio is for killers.
I wash my face with Neveja. It just makes my skin smooth.
Gets my asshole messy.
The first time ever, Japan versus American Midwest. Angel Dust. Oh, God, what I would do for some Angel Dust right now. Versus the IJGP winner, Sumi Sake.
Hey, there Tickles. Yes. What else do we have?
We have the New England rivalry reunited. Mistress Belmont from the Castlevania series takes on Davianinu.
I'm going to say that's divine, but just spelt funny.
Devon yeah. Brown?
Well, get this. Also confirmed for July 19th, Mephisto, Casey Carcelisle CC, the baddest woman on the planet, and both saw Michael Dennis.
Alrighty. It's Bonesaw Jesse Brooks.
You have
versus eight. Nyla the Destroyer and Samantha Heights. Is that what's happening, or they're just appearing?
That is going down July 19th at the Ludus Wrestling Center in Brooklyn, New York.
If you get there at 6 o'clock, you can meet these wonderful women, and maybe they won't get their periods on you.
I can't believe somebody actually asked us to do this.
Oh, card is subject to change, but you better hope it doesn't because it sounds fucking awesome.
ValkyrieWomans.com is the website. Clear your calendars. And July 19th.
Clear your drawers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, sorry about the technical difficulties there, folks.
Did we find a commercial to put in there at least?
I hope.
Wow. We have some things to plug, right?
Jesus Christ.
Actually, Kevin had one bit of news he wanted to get to.
Oh, I have some news too.
Oh no, I thought we were gonna.
No, we'll plug it at the end.
Okay.
Do the plug. I'm sorry.
We'll plug that later. Don't worry about it. I got it all pulled up. For those of you interested, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, they announced their Battle of Los Angeles 2014. Notable participants, Drew Gulak making his PWG debut.
Still haven't gotten my shirt.
You should probably contact him. Brian Myers, also known as Kurt Hawkins. Biff Busick. Brian Cage, Zack Sabre Jr., Rich Swann, AJ Styles, PWG going balls out for Battle of Los Angeles 2014. Also in the world of independent wrestling, Beyond Wrestling just had a show Sunday night or Sunday afternoon. There was a Create a Pro showcase which featured Pat Buck, VSK, Dorian Gray, and Mr. Anthony Bowens, who got the win. I hear it was a phenomenal showcase for those guys, so good for them. Things of note from that show, A.R. Fox defeated one Kurt Hawkins, also known as Brian Myers. And there is a video circulating the interwebs of a little Death Valley Driver action off the top rope onto the ring apron. Where do you guys stand on moves like that?
Not on the ring apron.
Ah!
Hey!
Hi-yo!
But see, what are your thoughts? I think the ring apron moves, they're a little too risque.
They're risky, not risque.
They might
Nobody's stripping while they're pile-driving people through tables at ringside or anything like that.
You don't watch enough independent wrestling.
I guess I don't.
But I mean, fresh out of WWE, and you're pulling off moves like that. I mean, God forbid A.R. Fox got hurt.
He
did get hurt. He broke his wrist.
Well, there's.
He's saying that
he's saying
he was
he
hurt
all weekend.
He said
like
that he was hurt going into that match.
Oh, okay.
So I'll take him for his word by saying that he was, because that match was Sunday, and he's
Sunday,
saying that
Sunday,
he worked
Sunday.
All weekend hurt. So I'll take him at his word that Kurt Hawkins wasn't the move that hurt him. Mm. I mean, that's okay. I mean, if I'm
I don't
taking
know.
People
I don't,
at
was,
their word.
Did you see how he was shaking his
yes.
hand after it?
I did. But like I said, he said on Facebook or Twitter that he worked all weekend with those injuries.
You know, I'm willing to bet that was A.R. Fox's idea, that move. Like, hey, here we are.
Well,
we're
yeah,
Indies,
I mean,
we're Beyond Wrestling. Let's just do something crazy. Hit me with this. I've taken it. I know how to do it. I trust you. And for the most part, it looked like, I guess, a safe landing.
I didn't think it was terrible.
It didn't look devastating. I mean, I've seen worse on the apron. I'm just not a fan of apron moves. I mean, obviously, that's the hard part of the ring. If you're going to start doing apron moves, you might as well just say, fuck the ring and wrestle on cement, because that's
right.
basically what they're saying.
That's what Nikolai Volkov did.
Well, yeah.
Well, I think you're looking for, you know, I mean, when was the last time somebody saw Kurt Hawkins on TV wrestle? So he's probably going in, you know, Beyond Wrestling, the independent scene. It has this
following.
It has a
je ne sais quoi.
No, what's the fucking word I'm looking for? Jesus Christ.
Asshole?
Yeah, it has an asshole.
At the end of the day.
But you're expected when you go to indie shows like Beyond Wrestling or Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Dragon Gate, there's crazy shit going on.
Yeah.
And you know, Eddie's probably 100% right. We've talked to A.R. Fox. He is push the envelope all the way. He wants to, if he did something crazy as fuck Saturday night, he wants to blow it out of the water Sunday.
Absolutely.
So he's probably going up to Brian going, I got a great idea. This is something they've probably never seen you do. I've taken it 100 times. Let's fucking blow the doors off this place.
At the end of the day, both guys have to agree to do the spot. So
yeah.
There's no blame anywhere.
Is it worth it on the independents or anywhere for that matter to do a spot like that? That's just fucking, that's insane.
I'll say this, Beyond Wrestling, that's where it was, right?
Yeah.
Beyond Wrestling has a huge following on the internet and on YouTube. So a lot of people, not just there in person, but a lot of people are going to see that match and see that move.
It's 2014, man. Not everything is just on USA and
so
shit.
A lot of people are going to talk about that. And even if it was risky and crazy, people are talking about Beyond Wrestling and these two guys. The only thing I didn't like about it, like, that was a fucking devastating move. Let that be the move that ends the match.
Oh, the match didn't end?
No, Kurt Hawkins was a little cocky. He got back in the ring. AR Fox rolls him up.
Yeah, he wasn't dead. He rolled
roll
him up
on a move like that?
A small package.
I mean, that's that's the only way he's gonna win that.
But he should have been unconscious.
That should have been it, though.
He should have been.
I agree with Eddie. That should have been it.
You take a move like that, you're dead. You don't have the wherewithal to know your opponent's coming in, roll him up, and be able to hold him for a pin. If you just got dropped head first on the fucking ring apron, you're unconscious.
I agree, but. To play devil's advocate, it's also like your instinct kicks in at that point because all your abilities fail you.
So yeah, but you shouldn't be able to hold him.
And if you want to play it, like that's how I would describe it if I was on commentary. It would be like AR Fox, it's the only thing he could have done. His instinct kicked in. He was down and out and his adrenaline was that and this. And that's how you play it up to the fans if you want to hide the fact that, yeah, this guy should be dead.
He should have been dead.
He should have been dead, but that's how you get out of it.
I guess so. They did the pin.
I 100% agree with you.
They did the pin for the shock factor. I didn't see the rest of the match. I'm sure it was amazing.
Those two guys, how could you?
Hell yeah. It's such a dangerous place to take bumps. That's why the middle of the ring is
I agree. You could be just as effective doing that bump in the middle of the ring. Off the top rope.
Right.
Yeah, 100%. Like doing it on the apron is basically exposing the fact that, the ring is soft in the middle.
I agree with that,
Let's
too.
Just do it on the hard part.
Yeah.
It's like then everything you guys just did in the middle of the ring is nothing. It didn't hurt.
I can't disagree with that.
You know, that I wish that happened and then we got to talk to Kurt Hawkins. You know, because then I'd want to ask him, like, I don't understand the logic.
You want to call him?
We'll never know. I mean,
send him a text. See what he's doing. We can ask him tonight.
He's probably training.
Probably
what
is
time
training.
Does he train till?
Who knows?
You know what? I'll ask a Jewosaurus to ask him next time they speak because I think
I don't want to overstep.
Kurt Hawk cares. It's Jewosaurus.
I was talking about.
We can overstep Jewosaurus all the time. I made his. I'm not going to spoil it. Never mind.
Yeah, shut up.
I'll keep my mouth shut. We love Jay Silva.
Squeeze me.
Two and a half wrestlers.
Couple other things of note: New Japan Pro Wrestling. They ran a show Saturday night on iPay-per-view. The Bullet Club, who also have Shining Wizards T-shirts. They
excellent
now,
taste and clothing.
They own all the gold, all the heavyweight titles in Japan. So,
amazing.
So tip of the cap to them. They keep killing it over there, and it's kind of shows you what happens when
you wear Shining Wizard shirts.
Yes. But when the
ShiningWizard.com/merch,
the wrestling companies around here take all these guys and they just don't know what to do with them. They go over to fucking New Japan, and now they're the biggest thing. In New Japan and possibly wrestling.
And New Japan is huge.
They're huge. They put Bullet Club t-shirts up on ProWrestlingTees.com yesterday, and within a half an hour, the site was crashed.
Yeah.
That's huge.
So, I mean, they're doing huge things, and it's a plus for wrestling fans who enjoy
and they also
the
just,
alternative.
Didn't they all just – they just signed a deal with Jeff Jarrett's Global Force to link up with them.
Mm.
So I'm sure once Global Force is off the ground, they'll be doing some talent exchanges and be a good working relationship, which is odd because I thought that New Japan works with Ring of Honor.
I think I know the Ring of Honor is sending people over there, but I mean, I don't think it's an exclusive deal, and it doesn't hurt New Japan if they can get their guys extra exposure. And
it doesn't hurt Global Force either.
No, not at all.
Guys coming in.
So there's that. Yeah,
that's when
Kevin,
whenever.
You had something.
Whenever there is a Global Force.
We always hate bringing up stuff like this, but we have to bring it up. Longtime AWA announcer Larry Nelson, as he was known on TV, Larry Shipley, played great announcer for AWA, has passed away. So we just want to send our condolences to anyone listening that may have known him or is in his family or is close
with
him.
Thoughts?
And prayers.
Thoughts? Thoughts and prayers. So he was a long time ring announcer for AWA.
No, I think he was a backstage guy.
He was like a promo guy. He did like what Mean Gene did in front of the AWA logo, interviewing all the guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was a face. He was really good. He had a lot of character. And dude, while we're doing this, really?
Sorry.
No, he had a lot of character. Was kind of always playing like the buffoon or like overreacting and hamming it up for the camera. He was really good at what he did, and then once the promotion died when WWE expanded and everything was done for him. But Shipley was awesome. Larry Nelson, R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
Nothing is sacred with these assholes.
Killed the monitor.
Why? Did you know fucking Larry Shipley?
No, but the dude is dead.
AWA's been off TV for like fucking 30 years.
He's a person
years.
Who died, man.
Guess what? When you get old, you fucking die.
I don't know how he died.
I thought you were gonna play that song, "When Larry Died."
I was trying to be kind with this song.
Larry Shipley.
I had a decent radio career too, man.
Yeah, eat the corn out of my shit, Larry. How do you like them apples?
In your face. See, that's me saying that.
So alrighty.
I don't like the placements.
The placement was important.
You failed.
Also, some news. Tony told me that we have more favorites on Stitcher Radio than TNA.
Yeah, ain't that... Wait, was that you?
No.
That was me, sorry.
And...
Is that our closing
number? And no. 2.5 wrestlers also have more favorites on Stitcher than TNA.
This is true.
So that's pretty badass.
Read our numbers out, are we?
No, we don't need to read the numbers, but yeah.
We got them beat by like double.
More than double.
Yeah, so that's pretty damn cool.
I feel like we're going to be like the Boosaw movement, just putting ourselves over.
Oh, you're going to start that again?
You know, that's it.
I love the Boosaw movement.
It's just a joke.
I like the video with Kevin.
I'm going to put someone else over.
Who's just trying to get themselves over. That's all it is.
That was incredible, that video.
Past guest of the show, Ken Shamrock, will be at the UFC Expo in July. Personal invite from Dana White.
Really? That's huge.
What?
Yes. Ken Shamrock will be back with the UFC. Las Vegas, July 5th and 6th.
Wow.
So props go out to Ken Shamrock.
I guess fences have been mended.
Yep. Yes, so.
Well, at least they're on their way.
You can't burn all the bridges all the time. But some of the bridges you can burn sometimes, but not all the time you can burn the bridges. One time I burned a bridge one time, but only sometimes I wasn't able to rebuild it. But now it's okay.
Is that Harry Carey or Edith Bunker?
Hey!
Hey, I'm rebuilding bridges.
I thought
bridges.
That was Horshack from Welcome Back,
hey.
Otter.
It was just me being retarded.
I have a pretty cool story that I think you guys would like to hear.
Very, very quite contrary.
Jimmy Wang Yang, and I do
don't
care.
So do as care. As you know, we've sent many a t-shirts out to many a people.
Yes.
And one of those people is Rob Van Dam.
Yes.
I sent him a reminder. Just a question, you know. Hey, you know, I know you're a busy guy. Whenever you get the chance, please send us a picture of the t-shirt. Not even 6 hours go by, and for some ungodly reason, Rob Van Dam is responding to us.
Because we treat him well.
He loves us, dude.
Which is something that, you know, for me, I do a lot of the social media. I send a lot of emails, and I've said it before. For him just to take the time to send a response back means the world to me. And I hope it means the world to you guys. I mean, he's WWE superstar. He's on the road, you know. And he just takes the time. It speaks volumes about his character. He was thinking about it the other day, and there should be a picture shortly of WWE talent rocking our Shining Wizards t-shirt. And I just wanted to share that little gem with you guys.
Dude, that
before
is tits.
We,
that is uber major big
wow.
tits.
That's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Anyway, you slice it. Supporting us was
or
one of the first
smoke
guys.
Smoke it.
The first guys.
Oh, yeah.
To do the Lanny Poffo reaching out to us wanting to do it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mr. Monday Night.
Wow.
Yeah, we got to start getting some more Lanny Poffos.
True that.
We kind of dried up on that.
Especially now with our clientele.
Yes. Yes.
Indeed.
Is that all we got for news? Should
I
we start pulling the
I
train into the
else.
Station?
Oh, I'm having so much fun.
I know, but there's really nothing left to go over.
Young Bucks rocking the shirt.
Who?
That's the Young
Bucks. Young Bucks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Go to the website, shiningwizards.com/shirts. It's all been updated.
Did you get the new ones today?
I got them, but I haven't had a chance to get them up yet. But they are updated as of yesterday from yesterday's goodies.
Badass.
Yes, very badass. Shiningwizards.com. Go to the merch page, buy a shirt, get one from us. We only have mediums and 2Xs left in the pink and blacks.
Next week, by the way, we have a huge guest.
Yeah. Oh. We forgot about that.
Yes.
What? Somebody going on.
Somebody call his mama. The Funkasaurus will be here. Whatever. What's he going by now? Is he still...
We'll call him Brodus Clay.
Yeah, well, I mean, we called Curt Hawkins Curt Hawkins.
It's Brodus Clay. We're talking Brodus to Brodus Clay.
We are talking to Brodus Clay next week.
Do you think your son would want to talk to him?
I was actually thinking about that, just having him ask him a question.
Yeah.
That's his favorite wrestler, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you make diarrhea when you make diarrhea?
Is this our closing number?
No, but I figured it was
appropriate.
That's a pretty big deal. I mean, two of the most recent releases from WWE within the same month.
And yeah, and I think he may have done
the same day.
I think he may it was the same day, but I think he may have only done one other interview that I saw going around, if that. I think our friends at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse may have had him, I think.
Cool.
But
we ask better questions.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun with the Funkadactosaurus.
Funkadactosaurus. And you can also come visit him September 20th at the Shining Wizards podcast table in Pro Wrestling Syndicate at Rahway, New Jersey.
Yes, we are doing another twofer. Legends in the Morning. Him. And Funkasaurus and the next PWS show that evening in Rahway.
In 6 months.
Hey, we got to plan ahead.
3 months. we should probably work on getting a couple of guests for the fucking convention.
Yeah,
I reached out to one Mike Adamley. He actually, we've been talking, well.
Would he just do his own gig?
I have no followers on Twitter. Mike Adamley's following me on Twitter.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so
that's worth 8,000 followers by itself.
I'm trying. I reached out to him. I'm trying to get him wrapped up because I felt terrible. We had some good stuff at Legends, and it went to shit. So, ShiningWizards.com. Don't forget the network. We've plugged it. You heard the commercial in the beginning and the commercials during. All the great shows there, including our boys, the Midnight Jury, who we fucked with, but all in good fun. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Neckbreaker. Apex Wrestling Entertainment now. Stickman's doing a lot of other crazy shit on his website. Who else? 2.5 Wrestlers, Pro Wrestling 101. I think that's everybody.
Special thanks to Kevin Gill for joining us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gill.
At OG Kevin Gill on Twitter, KevinGillShow.com. And, of course, the Valkyrie Women's Professional Wrestling, ValkyrieWomens.com. July 19th, they're running a show at the Ludus Wrestling Center in Brooklyn, New York. Kimberly, Cherry Bomb, La Rosa Negra, Lufisto.
La Rosa Negra is legit.
Yeah, she put up a video of her salsa dancing.
Ugh,
and it's just like her stomach. And
does is great. She's a great wrestler, too.
You know
she's
who's good. Tough, too?
Yeah, that's
Casey Carlisle. She's a tough bitch, man. She's crazy.
Yeah.
I remember I went to go see her in one of the Elite Eight tournaments out at the Office School in Pennsylvania. Whatever, dude.
So I had
She's fantastic. But yeah, La Rosa Negra, phenomenal.
Yeah, she was in the finals against Mercedes Martinez. They beat the shit out of
you. You ever see Missy Sampson wrestle La Rosa Negra?
I haven't.
Oh my god,
that's good stuff.
They kill
each other. Yeah, bitches are
crazy. If you like the ladies wrestling stiff, check this show out because I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty
badass. I'm getting stiff right now thinking about
July 19th, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, in Brooklyn.
What day is that? That's a Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I got work.
Oh, that's right. If you're not going to go to that show, then come watch my band play the old
Canal
Inn.
Oh, Durf.
Son of a bitch. I can't go.
Nice.
Nutley.
K.O. Durf in Nutley, right across the river from the studio.
I'll push that more next week.
We actually have a babysitter. So the missus and I will be coming to the KO Durf reunion.
I have a wedding the next week, so I have to work that Saturday.
Boo.
Call out with AIDS.
Get me a job. Get me a day job.
I've got AIDS.
Beastman AIDS.
We're going to open the show with that one night.
Quick plug for myself. If anyone listening is from South Jersey in the Asbury Park area, this Saturday night, I will be performing at the showroom.
Let's go. It's the closing
number.
Plug.
What are you doing?
You want to play the closing number over my plug?
Dude, he's giving you a pad, dude.
It's a bed.
Ambiance. Awesome.
Yes.
I love it.
In your face.
The Showroom Cinema, 10 o'clock, Asbury Park, New Jersey. This was a contest that I won, voted on by you, the fans.
That's right.
You won?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So,
that's awesome.
So, toot toot. Yeah, thank you. I'll be headlining that show this Saturday at 10 o'clock. So, come out and support. Thank
Good
you
job,
all for
Kevin.
Voting.
Good job, Kevin.
Where is it again?
Asbury Park. It's a hike.
I know where Asbury Park is.
That's when
I used to hang out with Bam Bam Bigelow and snort coke. I used to hang out in Asbury Park.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly.
No, wow. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Anything in closing, Matt?
No, I got nothing.
So, wait, what is this music we're listening to?
They got to figure it out. You figure out what
this
is.
No, please don't. Please don't.
Why?
Unless your name, if your name rhymes with Kathy
Hummer. I ain't giving shit away.
Hold on. Let me see.
Bram, bram,
bram, bram, bram.
Is this the Pussycat Dolls?
Let me see if I can sneakily a look at his
sneakily.
Oh, you can look all you want.
It's.
Should I cut it when he says who it is?
He's not gonna
cut
it
yet.
Out.
Let people listen.
Would you let? I know who that is.
Oh, do you?
Ooh, Eddie, stick it in.
I think I know this.
Oh,
is. Is this what I think it is?
I don't know.
Good night, everyone.
No, Bam Bam. Don't do that.
Barney, don't speak mean to him. Reason with him.
It is.
Okay.
Lana
Bam Bam.
In her girl band days.
American crush.
Hey, let go of my finger.
Barney, are you all right?
Yeah. Well, now I know how he got the name of Bam Bam.
ShiningWizards.com